morning.
Oh. Hello.
Hey.
There we go.
Sounded like you had to get through a bag of chips to get to the mic.
No. The mic, the stupid
Hello.
Thing hey. Is stuck. I saw your message. It says I.
I meant to put in a apostrophe, but I hit enter instead. So instead of saying I'm, it said I. And then I said, well, that's a good enough message.
I.
Just I.
You'll know what I'm talking about.
We're close like that. You'll know what I mean.
Is that the way Fashion Beast reads? I didn't get a chance to read it.
You'll have to let me know what you think.
Yeah, I'm going to try to read it today. I just ran across a lot of good stuff and got distracted. Not to say that Fashion Beast isn't good, I read Action Comics 13.
I heard that was good.
Well, I think it'll be varying opinions on whether you like it or not. I think if you've ever owned a dog, you'll love it. I mean, if you understand dogs and treat them more like family, you'll love it. But if they're just like pets, you won't get it. But it's amazing. It's so simple, but amazing.
Who wrote that one?
That was Grant Morrison, and the backup was by... It must be his buddy, because they work hand in hand. Do you know what I mean? He, like, sets it up, and then he knocks it out of the park. But that's Sholly Fish, who's been doing some of the Action Comic backups lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't get Action Comics. Didn't that stink when it started?
No, Superman stunk when it started. Action Comics was just...
Action Comics is good, but it's Morrison-y.
It's had a lot of wheel spinning for a while, too.
Yeah, it's like if you read it, you'll say, oh, that story's awesome. This is the way this title's been for me since it relaunched. I'll, like, read it, and then I'll say, oh, man, that's a 5 out of 5 or a 4 out of 5, and then I'll read 2 more issues, and I'll think those were 2 out of 5. So I'm like, what the hell? It's like a roller coaster.
Okay.
And I think it's because Morrison is a big storyteller, so it might even read better, like, if you read it in one sitting.
Right, the whole thing through.
Yeah, so some issues that don't seem whole or like a good monthly, they might seem better in like a big story.
But isn't that a failure on the part of the writer, though? Because he's writing for a medium that comes out monthly, so...
Well, it's a failure on more than half of the writers for comic books today.
Yeah.
It's not
I guess... Yeah, the trend Morrison. Is
that's,
to go away
That's
from
why
that.
Your first issue challenge is flawed in today's industry.
No, because the first issue should grab you, no matter if it's written for the trade or written for the issues. Because even if it's written for the trade, the first little bit of the book needs to grab you, so you're going to continue reading the whole book. So it's a perfect theory. Flawless.
No.
Flawless theory.
No, because I've read number ones and twos, and then I dropped this shit. And I said, I give up. And then number 3 and 4 come because I ordered them through DCBS, right? And I already stopped 5, 6. And I'm like, holy shit, I like this. I got to get back on.
Yeah, and the other problem is sometimes it'll be a really great first issue, and you'll be like, yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to read the rest. And then you read the rest, and it's like, oh, man, this sucks.
Yeah, I don't get that. But if you love dogs, you'll love Action Comics 13 because it's got it's like a crypto type story. And it has to do with the Phantom Zone. So if you like the Phantom Zone too, it's very science fiction-y up front. And they introduce this character. Maybe he's been around before, but it's like the first guy that they put into the Phantom Zone is Zhao Du. He's Dr. Zhao Du, and he seems like he's just a vengeful prick, but It is a really good story, and you get a guest appearance by the Phantom Stranger, which is really cool because it kind of shows how powerful he is. Well worth it. Like, Keith is the one that told me to read this, and Keith knows me, and he's like, you'll be reading the first few pages and say, just another Superman story. He says, keep reading. And he was right. It was awesome. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
And on another side, you know, Micah was talking about how crappy Superman was. It was really bad. But
yeah, I remember hearing that was pretty...
But it's...
Lousy.
Since the new team has taken over, Lobdell and Rockefort, oh man, it's been really top notch. So I'm really happy with the new team. He's even got a personality now. Clark even got have you guys seen Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, a long time ago.
You know how he gives his speech like, this is what we should be doing, and he gets fired for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Clark does something very similar to that. He goes into Morgan Edge and he lays out the line. Is like, we're not reporters. We're saying, you know, what the hottest actress is doing on the beach and shit like that. You know, he's like, this isn't reporting. And Morgan Edge fires his ass. He says, get out of there. And guess what? Cat Grant follows him out, kind of like the girl in Jerry Maguire. But it was pretty good. And there's some Kryptonian crossover that's occurring. And this Kryptonian dragon shows up, and Clark doesn't know it's Kryptonian. And he actually destroys it. And Supergirl's like, what the fuck? Because Supergirl is older than Clark because she took off in the rocket at an age where she was a teenager, whereas Clark was a baby. So she knows more about like what Krypton was and what was going on Krypton. But that was really cool. And then at the beginning, there's like this secret organization I've never heard of that's close to the center of the Earth that's testing Clark's powers. And he was like bench pressing the weight of the Earth, like, for two straight days. So it just kind of shows that he's back to his Silver Age strength. So that was interesting. But yet he gets his ass kicked by a Wildstorm character called Hellspot. So if you like Superman, I think you'll like the latest two issues.
The latest arc. How's the Rockefeller art? I like his art usually.
I love his art, and that's part of the reason why I'm like, damn, you know? The way Rockefeller drew, like, issue zero, it blew me away because it was all Kryptonian, and you know how Krypton has different technologies and stuff? It was just awesome the way his line style showed that, you know?
I matched it.
And when he shows that Kryptonian dragon, it's just awesome looking. Sweet.
You said it takes place on Krypton, or?
Which one? Superman doesn't.
Superman.
Action Comics did. Because it's a backstory. It's setting up something from Krypton. And then the Phantom Zone projector. It sets up the Phantom Zone.
I always loved stories on Krypton.
Yeah.
Whenever they used to do that.
And that's why I think these issues just... They were just so well written, man. They were good. And there's some other character at the end of Superman number 13 that is standing over Supergirl and Superman, and they don't see him. But, you know, it could be like General Zod or somebody. But it's obviously a Kryptonian. So it should be interesting. So those were really good reads.
And welcome to DC Noise.
Yes. And the crossover is called Hell on Earth. So DC is interesting right now because they've got many crossovers happening between their books. So if you like read single issues and don't read it all like me. Like, for me, it doesn't make a difference, right? But if I was a reader reading Superman, I might be kind of pissed because all his books, you know, are tying into Superboy and Supergirl and all that stuff. And then you got Animal Man who's tying into Frankenstein and Swamp Thing. And then you got Green Lantern who's got five books that they're all tying into. And then Batman's got the Return of the Joker. Yeah.
Death in the Family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be... I'm wondering how they'll read, if you're just reading the one series, if they've made it so that it makes sense.
Yeah, we'll find out. This is the first... The Batman one is done pretty good, because I read Batgirl and Batman, and it seems like you could just read Batman.
Yeah, I just read Batman, but it was one issue, so...
Did that blow your mind, or what?
That was awesome.
Oh my god, I've never been, like, scared with the speech the Joker did, but when he was, like, underneath the bed, and he knew where Jim Gordon's smokes were, I'm like, oh shit, that's frightening. Dang.
I'm trying to find it, and I can't find it now. I was going to look at it. Oh, there it is. Oh, the Joker. I just got scared by the Joker's face on the cover. And you got to love the covers they're doing for him.
Oh, yeah. The
old 80s covers. Or 90s.
I appreciate it. And they didn't raise the prices for the die cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they're
still the same price. Cool.
And I'm still getting blown away by this dude's art every issue. It's like, dang.
Capullo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's quite the character. Plus, he's awesome at drawing. I mean, but I've always liked his art. I mean, people think Spawn is McFarlane, but if you look at the amount of issues that Capullo did...
I know, he did it forever.
Yeah, it's like... And he didn't explode like he is exploded now, so he deserves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think on Spawn he was, like you said, he was in the shadow of McFarlane the whole time.
Yeah,
and there's just less readers of Spawn, but Batman is so high profile.
Yeah, there was a lot of content in that book, don't you think? Too, there's just a lot of story in there.
Yeah, there was a lot going on the way they set it all up, and then they actually, it wasn't just set up though, they actually delivered on the setup within the same issue. So.
Right. It wasn't like a 5-minute read.
Yeah, because in a lot of these, you would have just had the setup where you wouldn't even had the bat, maybe you'd have a Joker reveal, but maybe not within this issue, but it would have just been set up. But this one, they actually bring you to a conclusion. Or at least, not a conclusion of the whole story, obviously, but the story within the issue. The setup in the beginning of the issue is resolved by the end, so. This is a well-written, I think, issue, written for issues, you know what I mean? A good example of that.
Yeah, it was good. It's one that really stood out as... Like, that was a 5 out of 5 for me, and so was Action. So that was a good thing, because it seems like I was starting to lose traction on DC, and then the Zeros came out, and I enjoyed those. And then it seems like since the 13s have hit, they've been, at least everything I've read to date has been really good. So what else you got, Micah? What have you been reading?
I don't even know. Let's see. Well, to be fair to me, it's been... last week was really, really busy because of my girlfriend's sister getting married and all that kind of stuff. So,
I'm pretty sure... How was the cake?
Cake was awesome. Did you eat
it yet? We need a cake update.
Oh, cake update. The cake is gone.
How many people did it take to consume it? Or did it last a while?
Oh, no. It lasted well past the wedding, but the bride and groom took it on their honeymoon. So they had the cake. They had the fudge Claire made. They had the cheesecake brownie, the pumpkin cheesecake brownies that Claire made, and a loaf of pumpkin bread that Claire made, and some other like knickknacks or whatever. So we basically fed them for like their entire honeymoon with sweet stuff that'll rot their teeth. So that was good.
Which was the best layer of the cake?
I mean, personally, for me, it's the middle layer, which is the lemon cake, because I'm not huge into chocolate. So,
how was the pump? Wasn't there a pumpkin layer?
The pumpkin layer was the top layer. That was really good too. I mean, they're all really good, but I like lemon. I like lighter cakes more. The pumpkin one and the chocolate cake are definitely way more rich.
I'm a fan of the pumpkin now. It's like I can't get enough pumpkin. You put pumpkin on something and my eyes light up.
We had a really good pumpkin beer at the reception, but I cannot remember what kind of beer it was.
I didn't like the pumpkin beer Keith was drinking at that when we went to Baltimore. That was nasty. That was like bitter.
I don't know if I've had a pumpkin beer.
I mean, everyone makes them this time of year. Like people just shove them out because you can sell it. They vary in quality greatly. Pumpkin. Yeah. But, like, there are some that taste really good, kind of like a pumpkin pie you're drinking, that are really sweet. Some of them are a little less sweet, but still have a good pumpkin flavor. Also, it depends on what type of beer it is that they're adding the pumpkin flavor to. Because sometimes, like, you know, whether it's a darker one or a lighter beer, it kind of changes how...
The thing I don't like about some of those beer flavored beers is they get too like fruity and spicy.
Right. Some have a lot of spices in them. Some of them don't. It depends on what. It really depends on what you get, though. But I don't even remember what the name of the one we had at the wedding was. It was really good, though. Let's see.
Pumpkin beer with pumpkin cake.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pumpkin eggnog is starting to come out now. The only bad thing is, Barb tells me...
The pumpkin eggnog I had is coming back up now.
Oh, no. It's coming out again. Well, that didn't come out right either. It's seasonal, and it's available at your local grocery store. How's that? It's damn good. Barb says, you're not supposed... Like, you pour little glasses of eggnog. And I was like, I'm drinking half a carton.
I don't even know how you do that.
Big beer stein.
So good.
I don't think I've had that either. I don't know. I've just been neglecting my pumpkin intake, I guess, all these years.
Oh, I had a pumpkin spice shake. Too. Oh, good lord.
In the past couple of years, it's exploded.
I like the pumpkin pie blizzard at Dairy Queen.
Pumpkin chiffon pie. Oh, God. That's like taking a pumpkin pie and making it five times better. Good lord. So good.
What were you going to say, Micah?
I was just saying that the pumpkin thing has exploded a lot in the past couple of years. Like,
oh, no, there's more and more pumpkin-flavored things.
To an absurd amount.
Yeah, I don't remember any of this stuff when I was younger.
Neither do I.
Even
a couple of years back.
There was no pumpkin eggnog.
Yeah, there wasn't a pumpkin eggnog. There wasn't, like, they weren't selling pumpkin beer in, like, the mass... Like, we went to, I guess, like, Total Wine. I think it's the name of the store. It was, like, 18 different wine stores in Charlotte. We went to Total Wine, and they just had racks on racks of pumpkin beer. And it was, like, that didn't exist a few years back. Like, you couldn't walk into your whatever local beer store and just be met with displays of pumpkin beers from, like, every different local manufacturer there was. Like, they just didn't do it. But now, apparently... Like, I wonder how long it'll last. I wonder if we're ever going to burn out on pumpkins.
As long as people are buying it.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering when we get bored of it.
But there's been even a shift, like, in like potato chips and things like that. Like where in the past you'd have in this country they had like regular potato chips and they had barbecue potato chips, and that was it.
Right.
And now you can get like every variety under the sun.
That's just a lot of varieties. It isn't like the ketchup ones exploded and now you can't turn around without seeing ketchup chips on every, you know.
And the baked chips have become popular too.
That's just our bullshit idea that they're healthier.
Yeah. When you can see the grease soaking out of the bag and baked chips. It doesn't seem that healthy. Less fat, but
so you can eat a whole bag instead of half a bag.
Yeah. Well, Panera serves baked chips.
Yeah, you can get them a lot of places now. When I grew up in Canada, and in Canada they always had different types of chips. Because when I was in like grade school and high school, they had ketchup for a long time. So I love ketchup, salt and vinegar. And then when I was in high school, my favorite was barbecue chicken potato chips.
I've never had chicken.
Not just barbecue, but barbecue chicken.
Does it taste like chicken? What?
I used to have that every day with my lunch. I used to get a bag of barbecue chicken chips. And then when we moved to this country, it sucked because there's no flavors. I was like, oh, suffering. But now they have them all. So I guess the Canadians were just ahead of the curve there.
I guess they were.
They put meat in their chips.
Yeah, meaty chips.
Meaty chips.
Now we got meaty chips here. Bacon,
baked potato.
Baked potato.
I've seen those, but I haven't seen like chicken flavored chips.
Yeah, I don't know if those have made it over. I
haven't looked for it. I didn't think it was possible.
I mean, no, it's possible, dude. You can flavor anything like anything anymore. Like, it doesn't even matter. They're doing things with flavor stuff that is just bizarre, so.
Yeah, I got some of those. Every once in a while, Amazon has a deal on the pop chips, so I get the variety pack. And the one I got last time, I think it has like 8 different flavors. It has some. Has like one like a sweet Thai or something like that. I don't know what flavor that even is. Sweet.
That some sounds kind of pepper. Good. I don't like salt and vinegar, though, and you said you like that.
I love salt and vinegar. What's wrong with you?
Vinegar is evil to me.
In Canada, they have vinegar everywhere, even at McDonald's. So here's my other coming to America story for Canada. So in Canada,
you came down a prince from Canada, and then you went to a bad part of town. And you learned like what it was like coming to America.
And I lost all my money.
And you fell in love.
With the daughter of a guy who owns McDonald's.
Should watch that again.
It's still hilarious. It's an awesome movie.
The first time I saw that movie was in a drive-in.
Wow.
I don't remember what the opening movie was, but I think that was like the second one. So my Canada story. So in Canada, at fast food restaurants like McDonald's, you can get just like you can get little packets of ketchup. You can also get little packets of vinegar. It's just a standard thing, right? Whenever for your fries, you get ketchup and vinegar.
Or feet juice is what I like to call it.
Feet preservation juice, maybe.
Like sweaty socks, man. It stinks.
So when we came to this country, the first time we went to McDonald's, we were like, can we get some vinegar for? And they're like, what?
We don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that is so embarrassing. I couldn't handle.
They're like, they didn't know what we were talking about.
But if you go to a fish and chips place, they usually do.
Yeah. That's the only time you ever get vinegar in this country is if you have fish and chips.
No, like Five Guys has vinegar out on the tables for your French fries, I guess.
Do they really?
Yeah. Dude, they have bottles. They have bottles of vinegar out there.
Huh. I guess I never noticed.
Is it malt vinegar or regular vinegar?
Malt.
Yeah. In Canada, at the McDonald's, you just get regular vinegar in the vinegar pack.
Straight up vinegar? Wow.
Pure vinegar.
Canada
Goose. That's what you need. Hard. Malt vinegar. Who needs malt in your vinegar?
I like my liquor more than I like it in my vinegar.
Is there really like malt balls in there or what? Like malt?
I don't know. What is malt?
Well, I don't know. I always think of, like, if you order a malt, like a vanilla malt, it's like a vanilla shake with malt. I mean, what do they call them? Those little balls of stuff that they mince.
Like Whoppers?
Yeah, like Whoppers.
Crush up Whoppers and put it in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is malt?
I don't know. I'm not from the 1940s. I've never been to like a malt shop or whatever.
Oh, you could get malts anywhere at a good hamburger shop that is like the 40s or 50s.
Germinated cereal grains that have been dried in a process known as malting.
There you go. Bringing on the knowledge. Look at that.
We can read Wikipedia.
So I don't want none of that in my... I just like vinegar. Although, at home I have vinegar with cayenne peppers stuck in it. I think that's the official term, stuck in it. What's that called when you put stuff inside of stuff?
Well, cayenne peppers...
I believe they call it stuffing.
A powder, isn't it?
No, I'd like the whole cayenne before you...
Oh, before you stick vinegar inside the pepper?
No, I put the pepper in the vinegar. Infusion. Oh,
let it soak.
Yeah, it's infusing.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's infused.
So I infuse my peppers with my vinegar, or I infuse my vinegar with my peppers. So it's a spicy vinegar.
It's almost like pickling it.
Yeah. But then so it's the same concept.
Do you eat pickled eggs?
Not almost like it. This is what you're doing, but I guess it's different.
Pickled eggs? Yeah, I like pickled eggs.
Can't stand them.
Do you eat eggs, Bill?
I just said I like pickled eggs.
No, I know. It's like I'll eat eggs before I turned into a punk rocker. I like pickled eggs. Punk rock stage.
I like pickled eggs, but I just suck the pickling out.
You leave the egg behind. No, suck on that pickle. Suck on it.
What's your question? Oh, yeah, I eat eggs.
But you don't eat chicken.
No.
Do you eat eggs that are powdered eggs, or do you eat real? Like crack open powdered an egg?
Yeah, I eat regular eggs.
Ah. So Keith has to hide. He can't have eggs in the house.
Well, that's the,
Did you choke on some pickle?
That was interesting. I don't know even what just happened.
It's Skype problems.
Yeah, vegan. That's the vegans don't eat eggs or dairy.
Vegans hate life, though. So
vegans hate themselves.
All those dudes can stick it.
I know. So Keith has to hide away. And
that's why it cuts loose at the cons, man. And it gets wicked gas.
Doesn't
yeah. 8 pound burgers with eggs and everything else on top of them. Just balls of ice cream.
Well, like if you go to a buffet for breakfast, you usually get that big old tray of eggs, scrambled eggs.
I don't go anywhere near that.
Oh, I love that. Eggs.
I don't go anywhere near, like...
Dried looking...
Yeah, like the rubber things. Or,
this isn't dry. They're usually kind of wet.
No, it's not dry.
Barth loves buffet eggs.
Condensation in there. I'm like, oh, why is it wet?
I actually like those, too. And they're very, very salty.
Oh, this has gone to a very bad place.
They're very salty and very drippy and wet.
That's all bad.
How did we get all of that cake to this? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know how we got here.
The art of the tangent.
Bill, have you ever had millennial duck eggs?
You kind of cut out in and out there. Did I have duck eggs?
Have you ever had the millennial duck eggs, the one that you stick in the ground for like a few months or a year? A
thousand years? No, I have not.
You should try them. They're weird.
I believe I have tasted a duck egg before.
How about an ostrich egg?
I did not like it.
Ostrich eggs are awful.
For some reason, like, well, not for some reason, because we're in this country and we just eat certain animals and certain animal products, mm-hmm. it's always weird, like, conceptually to eat other other things.
Oh, no, yeah, like, the idea of eating eggs from other things is completely bizarre.
It's like, chickens I can handle for some reason, like, but yeah, if you go to other birds, like, I don't know, then you get into this weird dirt.
Snake eggs? No thanks. I'm out on that.
Like, I like chicken eggs and I like blue jay eggs, but besides that...
What the hell's a blue jay egg? Where do you get that at?
A blue jay nest.
Do you actually go outside and there's a nice blue jay and it has babies and then you just take the eggs? Aren't they a protected bird where you're at? No, I'm just kidding.
Very Canada, but not here. No, I don't really do that. But I've had, but they have a like quail. Oh, I think I've had a quail egg before.
Like I've had. Like, that's I've had
Asians quail. Are big on that, right? Isn't that an Asian food, like hard-boiled quail eggs?
I think it might be a big deal here with hunters. Like they eat quails and they eggs.
Yeah, it's not for me though. In a Asian dish, and it was too weird for me.
There are so many things that like the millennial duck eggs are like black. It's so weird.
Oh like, yeah, I've heard of that before.
Oh, dude.
Like, you're not going to eat a black duck egg that's black because it's fermented and rotten?
Well, they do things to them stuff. Listen, it took all the strength I had to even get it to my mouth.
Where did you have this?
Some Chinese restaurant like, a few years back. Made them themselves. Just, you know, had ducks put eggs in ground, wait. Or put it in a clay pot and put it in the ground. Something like that. It's a long process.
The only thing I eat from clay pots in the ground is kimchi.
Kimchi is awesome.
And I'm pretty sure most of the kimchi I've ever eaten has never been in the ground.
Probably not.
What is kimchi?
Korean.
Cabbage.
Cabbage and what?
Cabbage?
It's just cabbage with sauces or
I think there's something else in there, but I don't know what. It's basically fermented cabbage. It's Korean. It's delicious. It smells like feet.
I would hate it. Could you get that? Combine it with some barbecue, kind of roll it up together. It's good stuff.
Some translucent noodles.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that gives you some nasty gas. Cabbages and gas usually go together.
I don't know if the fermenting breaks down any of the...
gas.
No, I didn't study that the last time I had it. But the next time I eat it, I will definitely get back to you. Yeah. I'll let you know how the gas works after you ferment the cabbage.
I don't know. Yet that we'll have an experiment with Keith Knutson next time we see him. We'll give him one day. The first day we'll give him six hard-boiled eggs. The next day we'll give him deviled eggs. Six eggs, whatever you call it. And that we'll do try them both.
It'll be an experiment at Heroes Con next year.
I would like to be nowhere near that experiment.
And now we feed him cabbage, kimchi.
That would go poorly for everyone.
He'd probably mix it.
I mean, he might.
Yeah.
I tried making tempura the other day. And didn't.
Like what?
That batter.
Tempura?
Throw you fit? Yeah. Yep.
It's such a light batter. I don't know how they get it to stick.
Isn't it like multiple like baths you got to dip it in?
There's a lot of different ways you can do it. But you don't want it. Like, you really don't even want your batter to actually like super stick on, because you don't want your batter to be cakey. Your batter needs to be super, basically almost dry.
Yeah, cakey batter is nasty.
Yeah, you don't want that. Unless you're making donuts, then it's fine. You want cakey batter for donuts, but you don't want cakey batter for making your tempura. But mine ended up not being right. Like, either, I don't know, the water was cold enough, and it didn't get too wet, but I guess it got a little bit too wet. Like, the ratio was just a little bit off, and things got weird, but so instead of having tempura, I just had fried shrimp and peppers and stuff, so.
How does the tempura puff up? Do you put something in it?
Cornstarch. That's what cornstarch does. It makes things go poom.
I love tempura.
Cornstarch cornstarch. I get cornstarch confused with the cornmeal all the time, but it's not cornstarch.
Yeah.
No, you don't want cornmeal.
Is that what makes it lighter? Because tempura tends to be like a lighter batter.
Yeah. It's less flour. Yeah. It's like a lot less of everything, and then ice cold, essentially just ice water. Or you can use, like, ice seltzer. I guess you can carbonate it if you want to. You could introduce a tiny bit of yeast if you want. But not, you don't want it to, you don't want too much yeast because chemistry is bad. But, like, a little bit in order to add a little bit of.
You put yeast in yours?
Nope. I might next time.
So I have to buy some yeast. So, cook this then? Do you have a fryer or just a pan with oil?
A pan with oil.
And did you keep a fire extinguisher on hand?
Absolutely. I use baking soda. I have a fire extinguisher on hand, but I use baking soda. Next time, I will be doing it outside with a fryer. So.
Do you have an outdoor fryer?
No, I'm not even allowed to have one, but that doesn't mean I won't get one. So.
I don't want to get a fryer because that would just encourage me to fry a lot of stuff.
Are they illegal?
Absolutely. No, they're not illegal, but where I live, they don't want anyone cooking like...
In the complex that you live in?
Yeah. They don't want anyone to
do it. I don't blame them because it's kind of dangerous, I guess.
It's extraordinarily dangerous. This is why I want to do it. And it makes the food better. Whatever. When they clean the gutters off of these places, then I'll worry about what they have to say about the rules. Randomly turning water off for no damn reason. And then nobody knows about it. And then whatever. They're like, we don't know what happened. Like, yeah, well, figure that out.
And my friend made a beer chicken. Like, he shoved a can of beer up the chicken's ass and then deep fried it. And it was actually pretty good. Marv says it was grilled.
The whole can of chicken, like the whole can of beer, like he didn't open the can and dump it out.
Open the can, but I don't think you take the can out.
Oh, yeah, if you don't open it, then you can use anything inside of it, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have to do
Dr. Pepper chicken.
I was thinking maybe it exploded, and so you had aluminum throughout the chicken. It's kind of like Russian roulette.
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy. I don't know. I have to Google it, but...
I've heard of it before.
You could get aluminum poisoning or something. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure how that works exactly. I think I'll pass on that. Like, it might be good.
It was really good.
I think I'll pass. Like, the last weird chicken thing I ate was someone... It wasn't chicken, it was turkey. But they took a turkey that they got themselves, and they do some cleaning to it, and then they cover it in mud, and they make a in-ground fire pit, and they cook it. They basically bury it and cook it underground. And after it's done cooking for about 6 to 8 hours or so, you take it off, and when you peel the mud off of the turkey itself, it takes out all the feathers and everything with it, and so you're left with a surprisingly juicy turkey. That was really strange. And
that's just what, that's the one thing I really liked about this beer chicken is it wasn't dry at all. Do you know what I mean? It was just tender. The meat was just, it just like soaked up the beer. And I don't even like beer. I love to eat beer. Like if you give me beer bread or beer onion rings or beer battered fish, I love beer in my food, but I don't like to drink it.
Yeah. Well, you see like the flavor of it, but not the...
Yeah.
Whatever. My dad used to make a... He used to fry up hot dogs in beer.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Those are good.
I haven't heard about that.
Really?
Just in a pan? You like put beer in and fry... That is interesting.
Yeah. You use beer for a lot of stuff like that. Like for the simple pan frying of things.
Yeah, there's nothing better to me than beer bread. I just... love to when homemade beer bread and then you just put all kinds of butter on it. I'm just getting fat thinking about it.
Hey, Micah, your mud story. Your mud chicken.
What about it?
I saw a similar. I'm sure it's the same type of recipe on. I think it was that Bizarre Foods show.
Oh,
but they were like, I think they buried it like in poop.
Oh, no. No, we didn't. That wasn't going to happen over where I was.
Just mud.
Yeah,
is there anything around the chicken, or is it just the mud directly on the chicken?
Mud on chicken.
And where'd they get this mud from?
The backyard.
That's healthy.
So if you have a dog, you could just use poop.
They have a dog?
They don't have a dog.
But they probably have squirrels and stuff who are peeing on the
ground. It's possible. Listen, I'm not saying it's the healthiest thing. Maybe the heat cooked off all the bad stuff. Hopefully. Listen, I'm not dead. That was a couple of years ago, so.
Is there still the bubonic plague?
Yeah, I think it still somewhere. Exists. Matter of fact, we were watching a show about Australia and the infestation of mice during certain periods of, I don't know, it's very cyclical, like where they can't control the mice population at the farms. And it's just creepy because they actually turn into the crossed. They start eating themselves. Once all the food goes away, they...
Oh, no, mice are cannibals.
Yeah, they
rats
just
aren't.
Freaking cannibalize themselves. And it's just nasty. Is like they showed like half eat. They'll just like eat themselves, and they like it looks like the ground is moving. That's how many mice are there. You know what I mean? When this happens, and they talked about the plague, you know,
that is completely disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrid.
Like,
yeah, I just found an article. A squirrel test positive for bubonic plague.
Yeah. You know what? The world is going to hell. So.
Be careful eating your chicken out there. You could get the bubonic plague and become one of the crossed.
I just got the sickest cross cover I've ever seen in my freaking life. I was in shock, Bill, and I don't usually get in shock.
On which one?
I just opened my DCBS box yesterday. And I just saw the grossest cover, most vile, violent sexual cover I've ever seen in my entire life.
Was that the regular? Do they have different covers?
Like no, it was the torture cover.
Okay. Well, that's your own fault.
Well, I usually stick to the same theme. Like, I don't. I go all in, right?
I know. You got a collection. So
yeah, this one doesn't even seem like it'd be legal in most states because it has a woman tied to a tree. Okay, one leg is on one branch and another branch. And then she's naked. And she has both arms. Her arms are both sawed off. And there's two kids on one end of a... There's two kids on each end of the bow saws, or what do they call them, where they chop down trees, the lumberjack saws, where they'll like cut down trees. And they usually take like four guys to use that saw. But they're sawing her right down the middle. like starting at the butt crack and going all the way down. And it's four kids that are just like, you know how they have the cross symbols on them and they're going, it's creepy.
Horrible.
Yeah.
How could you be such filth?
It's filth.
It is filth. There's no other way to, I mean, cross is just I know. Seriously, some of the stuff I read in there, I'm like, man. How is this even legal? I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore. But I'm buying it.
It is so weird, too, because, you know, usually you think extreme writers. One of them might be Garth Ennis, but he's the most tame. Of all of the cross, and he's the creator of the book.
Who's writing the new?
David Hein.
Okay.
I haven't started the Hein arc. I'm still in the Laugham arc.
Okay.
The Laugham arc is crazy as shit. I mean, it's the cross that, like,
yeah, that boy
circus,
is
man. Oh my god.
There's no doubt about it.
And this is the first time in that arc I've ever seen a reoccurring character, so that's interesting. Do you remember that crazy fucker from Psychopath Cross Psychopath?
Yeah.
He shows up again.
The main guy?
Yes, the crazy fucker. The one that's human. Ooh. That's worse than the crossed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was in the Laugham arc?
Yeah.
Laugham?
Laugham. Whatever, he's awesome. He's a crazy dude.
I actually read a Laugham book.
What?
It's from 2010. Geek Brunch Retro.
It's not a retro. It has to be 10 years or older.
Oh, I thought you said 2010 or older.
No, 10 years or older.
It's a Punisher Tiny Ugly World.
Huh.
Written by David Laugham. Art by Dalibor Talayik.
How'd you get this thing?
Quarterbin.
Ah.
I got a thing for Punisher one-shots, so anytime I see a Punisher one-shot in a bin, I grab it. Especially one written by Laugham. And this was very Laugham-esque. And true to some of his comics, it actually the main character is not Punisher, it's this other guy.
That's what I like about when he does like books like The Punisher and stuff. They like focus around the situation rather than the Punisher, because the Punisher's kind of, I hate to say it, but he's kind of lame, one-dimensional.
Yeah, he kills people.
So the best thing about the Punisher is the story that revolves around him. At least I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this one, it starts out. Well, it's cool because the very beginning it starts and you see the Punisher going into this place, and he's gonna go kill these drug dealers or whatever, and there's captions like someone thinking, you know, and kind of explaining what's going on. And you think it's the Punisher, but it actually, they do like a twist and it's actually not the Punisher whose thoughts you're seeing. But anyway, so he goes into this place, he starts killing everyone, he's blowing them away. And this is a Marvel Max. So they show people's brains being blown out and stuff.
That's the way the Punisher story should be.
We can see all the guts and gore.
Well, it's not just that, but he's all about the violence, so it shouldn't be anything but a Max, I think. I don't think he works very well in the Marvel Universe.
As a superhero?
Yeah.
He's on a new team now, isn't he?
He's a Thunderbolt, which I won't be getting.
So in this one, so he kills all these people, and then there's one guy that he doesn't, the main guy he's after, he gets some information from him. He wants to find out about his uncle, who's a drug lord or whatever. He finds out the information from him. Oh, he shoots his knee, and the dude's there screaming and stuff, and then he asks him, and he gets the information from him. And then, oh, I guess that this guy, he has something to do with underage girls, like he sells them or whatever, something bad. So he shoots him in the dick. So he shoots up his wang. Bam. He's screaming and holding his crotch, and there's blood spraying everywhere.
That's justice.
That's right. It's literal justice. It's like you're going to mess around with little girls, then...
Yeah, you're going to lose your cock. That's awesome. I hate to say this, but that guy that just killed that little girl in Denver, that fucker, I mean, that's when I wish there was a Punisher like that to go kill that fucker. I mean, he dismembered her. That sucks.
That story, did that just come out recently?
It's about 2 weeks old. She was missing for a long time, and then they were like in the fields. There's like a plains area where there's like fields, and they found parts of her body, or they said we found a body, but we can't identify it. So already you're suspicious. Like, was it her? Why can't they identify it? Well, they couldn't identify it because it was pieces. And I guess they caught him. I think Barb told me they caught him because he was 17 years old, and he confessed to his mom. And his mom called the police, and they found other pieces in the house.
How old was the girl?
How old was the girl, Barb? 10.
Horrible.
Yeah. She was walking to school.
But they got the guy?
Yeah. And I guess supposedly he was trying to capture another woman, and the woman got away because he had... What is that stuff that knocks you out? That you usually put it on a chloroform? He was studying to be a mortician at one of the community colleges, and he tried to capture a runner. I guess she was a runner walking, and she got away. But I guess when he confessed to his mother is how they ended up catching him. But what a jackass. Where's the Punisher then? You know what I mean?
I'm sure he'll get his at some point. They don't take kindly to that in prison, do they, usually?
It's actually not true. Like, it's a common thing that, like, oh, man, in prison, if you, like, not, like, but it's not, like, it isn't like his life is going to be, like, any worse off than a lot of other people in prison are. Like, it just depends on, like, who you are and who you run in with and so forth. Like, it's not a guarantee that anything going to happen to him.
Who's protecting you? Who's,
I mean, you figure there's a lot of other people like him there, so.
That fucking asshole, though. That's what I like to see the Punishers. That guy's crotch shot off. I can't believe if you're the parents. I mean, how do you live with that? Your daughter being killed like that. I don't have kids, and I can't imagine what they're going through. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Like, probably for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Your life would never be the same again after that.
Yeah. There's some fucked up shit that's been happening up in Denver. I mean, I guess it's everywhere, but lately, I mean, I think we've been in the news quite a bit. They found a dead body near where I walk, Harley and our dogs. Like, but I think that was not malicious. I think somebody had a heart attack on the trail. But they haven't figured that one out yet. Crazy world, man.
One of your neighbors.
Yeah. Well, I don't know him personally, but somebody died. And you can... Yesterday, me and Barb were taking Harley for a walk. So we're on the trail. And Barb's like, yeah, I think it's just up there. And you could see the police tape. Like where it was, where they have it, yeah.
That's what I mean. I hate to say it, but that's what happens when you exercise.
I mean,
gotta be careful.
It is a definite side effect of exercise. That it's a different consequence that you may die.
Well, I think it's eating the chips and then exercising. You know, we're talking about chips.
No, I think if you eat healthy and exercise, it's a good chance of you dying. Your heart might overstimulate itself. You know, you just, I'm just saying, you never know. The safest thing to do is just sit in front of a TV all day.
Yeah, you really don't want to get your heart rate up.
You could die from that too, Micah.
No. You just watch C-SPAN.
Just watch C-SPAN, and then you're going to live to 120?
Yes.
So Micah's theory of living forever.
Yes.
You just have to have enough money to have food and sit in front of C-SPAN. As long as you can afford cable so you can watch C-SPAN, you're okay.
Absolutely.
You'll get enough exercise getting up to go to the kitchen to get some more potato chips.
Yeah, you get up to the kitchen, you go to the bathroom. You don't want to have the bathroom beside you. You need to walk like at least like 12 feet to the bathroom.
You got to make sure you get at least like 50 steps in a day.
Yeah. That's all, though. Not too much, though, because you don't want to stress out.
Yeah, it's weird.
Keep your heart rate low.
You could be healthy and be dead. But I think your odds are better if your heart is healthy.
Slightly better.
That's a myth.
That's a myth.
I don't think they've proven that ever. Okay, back to this book. So that was the Punisher part of it, and then known to the Punisher. So after the Punisher kills these people, he's leaving and walking down the hall, and he sees this Weasley-like guy watching from his apartment. And I don't think he says anything to him. So then we jump to the story of this guy who saw the Punisher do this, and this has changed his life because he admires what the Punisher has done because he hated these guys, and then. Yeah, then it tells like the backstory of this guy, and apparently this guy, he had like a very demanding mother who was into making sure he had good posture, and
of course they all have demanding mothers,
and you know, he was a perfect little son, and then she slept with him.
With her son?
Yeah, she slept with her son. And do you want me to spoil what happens to him?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get this book.
Okay, yeah, she cuts off his wiener and puts it in a jar.
Why does she do that?
Because it's evil. It caused him to do evil things.
His penis. So
she slept with him, and then she immediately regretted it and said he was evil and that he was a sinner. And she made it right by cutting off his junk and putting it in a jar.
That's
and
his
then
mom?
She, and then she, yeah, his mom did. And then she killed herself.
Good Lord. That's what you get with the Laugh-Em book.
Yeah, so I could have probably just told you the story and said, guess who wrote this?
I would have had a good guess.
At this point, you would know.
Yeah.
So this guy, he goes into the apartment next door where the Punisher killed all these people, and he finds this guy who's still alive, and he decides that this is his opportunity. This is his big opportunity in life. He's been given this gift. So he takes the guy, puts him in his bathtub, and like sews up his wounds so that he can live. And then he experiments on him for 12 hours and does all sorts of horrible things to him. They don't really say why. I guess just because he's having like delusions of grandeur at this point. So he thinks he's kind of like a god. And then he meets this girl and he wants to do the same thing to this girl. But before he does that, he wants to see the Punisher again. So he goes, he knows where the Punisher is going, because he overheard where he was going. And he goes to meet the Punisher, and then the Punisher finds out the Punisher finds out that he lets on with the Punisher that he's going to do what he's going to do to this girl, and he's thanking the Punisher for giving him this opportunity and how he changed his life and everything. And then then you can figure out what the Punisher does.
He punishes.
Gives him a handshake.
Yeah, he punishes him. So it was an awesome Lapham story. Lapham story.
I might have this one. I just have to go through some long boxes to check.
It's good. It was really. If you like Lapham, then you won't be let down.
Like him. He's one of my top five.
Well, then you should own this.
Yes. That's why I'm interested to see. There's a lot of Punisher Max one-shots.
Yeah, I got a lot of them. I always get them. I always pick them up. I like the Punisher, though.
You made me hungry for some Punisher. Maybe I ought to go read some Punisher after this.
I'm sure you have some 10-year-old Punisher. Hey, you want to talk about your new show?
Oh, yeah. It's Geek Brunch Retro, and it's a lot like this because it's just old stuff, though. Anything that's old. So I could go dig out some... Well, this one might not qualify, but I could go dig out some old Punisher books if I wanted.
Some 90s Punisher.
That's right. But I have a host. You guys are... part of it, if you guys ever want to come on, it usually is at the same time that we record this, just on opposing weekends, just on the opposite weekend. My co-host currently is Chris Ivey, and we cut our first episode, and we didn't even introduce him until halfway through the episode because we got talking. I had never talked to him before, and other than through email and the forums and stuff like that, but I had never talked to him on Skype, and we got along really well. Yeah, he has a passion for comics like we do, so he fit right in.
Awesome. It's a good idea.
I'm loving it because Micah has been reading old stuff, and I have a lot of old stuff, so it like triggers off a lot of memories, and a lot of what I read this week was old stuff with very few exceptions. So, yeah, I'm enjoying going through the long boxes that I haven't read yet.
Haven't read.
And it gives me a lot of excuses to read my back issue magazines, my what do they call it? The trades that, you know, the collected omnibuses and stuff that I have that I haven't really poked into in a while. So yeah, it's good for me because then I'm going to read stuff. The only bad thing is I get backed up on the new stuff. But there are a lot of gems in there. Like I've been poking around in the 90s, just this last week. And I found this title I really, really latched onto called Argus. The character was launched out of a Flash annual that was done by Mark Waid during the Bloodlines. So the Bloodlines annuals were these aliens came down, they bit certain individuals that already had a metagene in them, and then those individuals had gained some kind of power. Well, I think the one that's popular that comes to mind is Hitman. You know, everybody knows Hitman. He had a 60-issue arc or something like that. He had quite a bit of comics. But this guy, during the Bloodlines, several titles were launched and all of them failed. Argus was one. Blood Pack was another. I can't remember if Loose Cannon was also one of them. But
I think I have all of those.
Actually. Loose Cannon?
No, all of the...
Bloodshot?
Bloodlines. Nonsense.
Yeah, the... I really like the annuals that came out of it, but you didn't really hear much of the characters. And later on, I think it was in Infinite Crisis or one of those crises, they decided to kill like three of them in like one of the first issues because nobody knew who they were. And during that time, I was like, well, I didn't even know these series existed. So I bought Blood Pack. I bought Argus. I bought a bunch of titles of characters that, I don't know, I hadn't heard of. I did collect Hitman, so I knew Hitman. Loose Cannon, I recently read that. Loose Cannon's awesome. He's actually appeared in the New 52 just for a few panels, but he's like a Hulk character. The guy is walks around with a cane. He can't walk very well, but he gets kind of like different colors, and depending on the color he is, he's kind of like the Hulk. He gets stronger and stronger and stronger and uncontrollable and larger and larger and larger. But this character, Argus, what interests me about it is his backstory, because he had this father that was a blue-collar worker. He worked really hard in his life, and his mother was, you know, they were straight-arrow people. And then this guy got caught up in the mafia, as far as, like, he was tired of being poor, tired of listening to his father. His father would always give him, like, nightly talks about lessons in life and, you know, what to do, what not to do. And he took the wrong path eventually and became part of the mafia, and his father died and all kinds of shit happened. And his backstory is fascinating. And then he became an FBI agent. So now he's like an FBI guy that goes undercover as a mafia dude. And his powers are interesting because he could see all kinds of things in different spectrums. He could see infrared, all kinds of different stuff. He's probably got the strength of about 10 men, and he can blend in. He's got like camouflage, like a gecko or one of those, you know, reptiles that can blend in with their environment. So he could, if he's behind a building, he could actually look like part of the building. But yeah, this storyline is freaking awesome, and it's by I haven't read much by Mark Wheatley. I've heard his name, and I've seen pictures of him on Facebook, but I don't know much that he's done. Mark,
his name's familiar.
Mark Wheatley and Alan Gross write it, and the pencils were by either Phil Hester or Luke McDonald, depending on what issue you're on. But and he has an infatuation with Linda Park, which is kind of interesting because that's Wally West's woman. And there's just a lot of cool backstory. And the fact that there's a lot of satellite technologies being done in this interests me. So they launch a satellite into space, and it has like an objective of being like a Big Brother Eye kind of thing, which that also interests me because of the OMAC. And it's actually destroying government satellites. So it's like it has a malicious goal. And I don't know what the ending is because I've read 1 through 5 and this was only 6 issues and I can't find my 6th issue. Unfortunately, Comixology doesn't have it, or I would have just read it.
Of course they don't. They don't have anything. God, it makes me so... That pisses me off to no end.
But wouldn't Comixology be awesome if they had everything like that? Because then, like, if you were reading something, Micah, and you were like, well, I ain't going to be able to find this issue unless I, you know,
just
go lurk everywhere for it, then you could just go to Comixology and finish the story.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be awesome.
Yeah, and in this case, I would double dip because I know I bought it. It just wasn't in the alphabetical order box that I put them in. It's in my database saying I own it. I just can't find it. But
see, I have all of Argus. I have all of Gunfire, Anima, Blood Pack. I think I have all of... No, I have Blood Pack, and I have a majority of Hitman. But I don't have the Loose Cannon, and I don't have what's the stupid ridiculous one?
The one with the funny looking dude on the cover?
Yeah, like there's one with a ridiculous title and
Bob the something or another. I can't remember.
I don't even remember, but I know there's another. There's like one more book, and I can tell because like they all tell you to buy the other ones.
I do have that is it Anima?
Enema.
That sounds like the thing you stick up your ass, but
yes, it does.
I I was going to read that one next just because it was like in the order that I was reading it. So, yeah, Argus, I'd be real curious to see what you – if you read issue 1 and 2, what you think about it. It's Mike, a real interesting quick premise.
Scan in number 6 and send it to Mike.
I can send you the JPEGs of them.
Of issue 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to finish it. Let me look through one long box first to see if I have it, because there was a time where I ordered from my comic shop,
right?
And I ordered a bunch of them, and then there was like some issues that they didn't have at the time, and then I put them on my want list, and then I think I repurchased some that, you know, to fill in the holes, and I got to find that long box. But Argus is pretty cool, and if you like Phil Hester artwork, I think you'll dig this title. It takes place in Central City and Keystone City type area. And the other ability, he has so many different powers, which makes him unique. He's got like a Wolverine capability, because these dudes pulled out his eye sockets. They pulled out his eyeballs, and he was pretty much blind. So for a while, all he could see was in the infrared and all the different spectrums, because he didn't have any eyes. Well, in issue 5, they start to grow back. So he has the ability to heal like Wolverine, but not as fast. So that's another cool power he has. But Argus was a very interesting read to me. And the other one I dug out of the A's is Arsenal. This was Devin Grayson. If you remember, Devin Grayson was famous for the Stop It Some More sex scene that Nightwing had with Tarantula in the Nightwing series. And she wrote a lot of the blockbuster conflict. And I think she might have wrote the story arc where they had that one detective that was corrupt, whose neck got turned around and his face faced his back and his hair was in the front of his body. And you'll know who I'm talking about.
I know. I don't remember who wrote that.
Yeah, but this is Devin Grayson. I think she was, I don't know, she's the girlfriend of another writer. Or maybe she's married to one. But I can't remember who. And the pencils are by Rick Mays. I've never seen it, but he's got like an animated style. But Arsenal, this takes place right after or close after Green Arrow has perished, and over Metropolis and the airplane. Kevin Smith actually brought him back to life. But so Arsenal's taking care of his daughter, which they decided to kill in the pre-52, which I thought was a bad idea, because it was kind of cool to have a single father raising his kid, even though he didn't know how to raise her. in this issue, she's got like guns around the house and all this shit, and Leon is playing with the guns. But Black Canary's in it. She's helping with the raising of Leon, and story focuses around Vandal Savage, where he's growing an organ farm. Because they don't talk about this in Vandal Savage lore very much, but Vandal Savage is kind of immortal, but he has to replace his organs. So he usually breeds a lot and then kills people and takes organs that can be replaced, because when you replace an organ, you have to have like certain like blood types and all that kind of stuff. You can't just put in any kidney and all that stuff. So he has one of his daughters growing, who's a scientist, growing an organ farm. And for some reason, he sends a bunch of nurses over to get Liam, because I guess there's related somehow to Vandal Savage. And you find out that she needs a kidney replaced. So Vandal wants to make a deal with Arsenal to say, okay, I'll keep her alive, and you won't have to worry about trying to find her a kidney if you don't take down my organ farm. Well, he ends up doing the right thing. He teams up with Connor Hawk, who was Green Arrow's son. I like Connor Hawk. He was a pretty righteous dude. He'd always do the right thing. Unlike his father, that's what made it so interesting. Oliver was kind of out there in his beliefs. I've always liked Oliver Queen, but this is a good series. It's only 4 issues, so if you get a chance, check it out. And then the last one I started to read was Artemis, which is, if you remember her, she was Wonder Woman at one time during this phase.
Yep.
Well, she died. What was that crossover where they killed Underworld Unleashed? She died during Underworld Unleashed, where the Neuron guy was killing a lot of villains, or he was empowering them, and then he ended up killing a lot of heroes and villains at the time. And she died, and they just brought her back in this issue 1. It was like, bang, she's back. And the way they brought her back was so fucked up. I don't even understand it. It's like Wonder Woman just went into this yoga stance, and she like teleported her body into the River Styx. Like she's in Hades. She could like get into this yoga stance and send her spirit. She did like a Doctor Strange. You know how Doctor Strange could leave his body and go into that spirit? That's what she did. And she went into hell to try to rescue her. And interesting enough, Artemis didn't want to rescue. She was a bitch to some demon, and she kind of liked the demon. Because she's like, hey, Wonder Woman, come over here. And she's like, she walks into this room and there's a bunch of naked dudes. And she's like, I'm having a good time here in hell. It's a good place to be. And Wonder Woman says, no, you can't do this. And the demon that was there let Artemis have Wonder Woman as her slave. So it got really weird. But they end up escaping hell because Wonder Woman tries to rescue one of the demons, and it gets really weird. And then it even gets weirder as they come out of hell. They end up in a graveyard, and there's a neo-Nazi group in the graveyard. I guess they're going to do some vandalism. And they find a black woman that's a security guard. And she's not really a security guard. Well, I guess she is a security guard across the street for a Freon company. And I guess she has to protect Freon because I don't remember this being an issue, but I guess in a certain time Freon became dangerous to the environment and they started shutting down Freon air conditioners. Do you remember this?
Think so.
No.
I don't either. But I guess this was a political thing because it happened in this comic. Why would they talk about us protecting Freon? But she was guarding Freon and she wanted to go stop these neo-Nazis. And then she gets caught up in this thing, and they end up stopping neo-Nazis and joining this weird superhero team. It's just bizarre. I haven't finished it yet, but the art is by Ed Bennis, so it is very eye candy-ish, and it's kind of weird. It's a weird story. It's by Messner Loebs, if you remember him from – he relaunched the Flash book, if I remember correctly. When Wally became Flash. But those are the old books that I've read. And I'm in the A's. And Anima is close to...
Animaniac.
Yeah, and I was going to read...
Anima.
Blood Pack.
Next. Anime? You're reading anime?
No. Enema.
He's reading an enema. You're just reading it. Page by page.
Step one.
With diagrams.
Open buttocks. Hey, I read another Punisher book.
Okay.
I just found it.
Ooh, what is it?
It's a newer one. Space Punisher.
Ah.
That's right. Punisher in space.
And this has to be just an issue 1 purchase.
Issue number 1. Of course I'm going to start on issue number 1. Written by Frank Terry, and art by Mark Tex. How do you say his last name?
Texera?
Texera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close enough.
And he did the painted art by him, so it's really nice. The art is really nice.
I remember him from Ghost Rider. I think he did Danny Ketch years.
I think he did some other things back then, too. So this is kind of like an other worlds type story where Punisher is a vigilante in outer space. And it starts out where he's fighting the Brood. The Brood who have been infected by the Venom thing.
The Symbionite?
Symbiote. And then, so it starts out with that, and then he's going to find Barracuda. So he's flying through space to look for him, and then he finds some of his bad guys and finds out about this group called the Six Something. I don't remember what their... Let me try and find what their name is. Six Capos of the Six-Fingered Hand, which are the Symbrood, which he already found, Dr. Octopus, the Green Goblin, Magneto, the Red Skull, and Ultron. And they're all, like, alien-looking. Like, Dr. Octopus has is, like, half-octopus. Green Goblin has, like, big wings. And then... What is... So he's going to go after them, and then a bunch of people show up and break through the window of this place he's at. And who are they all? Sabretooth, Deadpool, and the Leader show up in space.
So this is an alternate reality.
Yeah. Definitely. It was good, though. I liked it a lot. And the art was really, really good. And I liked the story, too. So I actually enjoyed this. It was a fun little story.
Are you buying it singles, or...?
I'll probably get the trade. Trade, baby, trade.
It's only four issues.
Four issues. Although, I'm considering getting less trades and more single issues.
Bad for space, but it's probably better.
I'm running out of room for... I don't really have any room for trades anymore.
Ah.
Build another bookshelf.
I don't really have any room for single issues either. I might be done buying comic books.
Well.
All because of Space Punisher.
You gotta go digital, dude.
That was the last one I could buy.
You could get an iPad and then be set.
Yep. I would make my wife happy.
Oh, I still don't get as much enjoyment. Like, I could read a good story on the iPad, but, man, I don't know what it is. It's got to be something in my brain, some chemical or something that doesn't get...
It's called old.
It's called old.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, for sure the reading experience on paper is better.
It is a better experience.
For your eyes than reading on a screen.
Significantly so.
So there is something to it. So it's probably part of column A and part of column B. I definitely prefer. I mean, I would love to switch over to digital just because the concepts is good. I mean, I'd love to be able to.
The pricing is still fucked, though.
Yeah, the pricing is bad, and the experience isn't there.
For Marvel, yet. It's horrible.
No, we're not even listening to. That's ridiculous. Marvel's in their own little planet of awful.
Marvel's the worst. Like, if you're going to get issues, you might as well get Marvel in paper because they charge the same for digital.
$4 for 20 pages.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Like, on Comixology, you don't actually own the media, right? You're just...
No, you're paying for the right to read it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but no. Because with Netflix, at least, you can read... If you want to on Netflix to veg out,
okay,
you pay your $10 and you can totally just eat out.
I don't mean in terms of the subscription structure, but I mean in terms of you don't download the content and then own it. You just get to view the content.
Yeah,
so yeah, you can. Yeah,
it's kind of like owning it though. It's not on your storage space.
But there's no guarantee. I mean, if Comixology goes away one day, then you have no comics.
Yeah, but if you're DC or Marvel, I'm sure they'll find a way to get... They're not going to shaft you.
Yes, they are. They are absolutely going to shaft you.
It's called software escrow. In other words,
no, but they'll charge you for it the way iTunes did.
If you lose your company, usually you write something in legally into the clause saying, if you go under, I could get my software.
Yeah, well, someone will take the software, but like the user, though. They won't have rights to the content.
Right, like Marvel is under no obligation to give you all the comics you bought on Comixology. If Comixology goes under, like Marvel is under no obligation to just for free give you those comics on another digital platform. Like, you don't own those books. You own the right to read those books under the term. I've not read the complete terms because I don't have that kind of time, but.
But I know on Comixology, when you buy stuff, there's like a little check mark. I understand that I'm just purchasing the rights to read this, and I don't actually own it.
Which means that you can't. There's like things that people don't ever do with their comics, but there are things you can't do. Like, you can't transfer the license of this. Like, you can't let somebody borrow it. You can't, like, legally or whatever. Same thing, like, if you buy movies off, like, iTunes and Amazon.
Yeah, it's very similar.
But the difference is, it's the stupid DRM thing or whatever with, like, do you remember when iTunes, if you bought music from iTunes, you could only ever play it through Apple stuff because of the way that everything was locked down. Then they made you pay 30 cents a song to be able to play them anywhere. Well, it was, like, comics were essentially in that place before everyone just started doing just regular old MP3s and stuff, so...
But from
you don't
a,
own anything.
But from a Marvel and a DC perspective, you could go directly to the Marvel app, which is powered by Comixology, to read your Marvel stuff and your DC.
Right.
But I think they have some kind of agreement. I don't know what all the legal rights is, but let's say they don't go under, it's awesome because it's... You can read it from any of your devices. I could put it on my computer. I could put it on my phone. I could put it anywhere I want and read the stuff. And I don't have to worry about the damn storage of it. So I love it. Like,
no, it is definitely.
It's fucking awesome from that perspective. But the fact that you don't have the PDF or whatever in hand, if all hell broke loose, who knows what would happen? I personally think.
When the end of the world comes, I'll still have my paper comics to read.
Not if they're on fire.
Where you guys are screwed.
Well, there's also
staring at your iPad with no that has no power.
I mean, there's also
by the fire with my Space Punisher trade.
Like, I don't know because I don't really use it much, but it'd be nice. Well, one of the problems with Comixology, I don't think it's their fault, but Marvel and DC are completely stupid and they don't have all their old stuff up there. Which is
what happened to that one? Does Marvel still have that thing where you can buy?
Yes, that still exists,
like,
but it's
like
starting,
Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix,
but it's starting to get kind of weaker as it goes along.
There, it's losing power as Comixology is becoming more in power.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's less.
But
you can
but
read
that
there.
that was a good deal at the time because you could read a lot of content.
Yep, that's how I'd
rather have that. I'd rather pay Comixology monthly. It would be awesome if I could pay a monthly fee to Comixology and read what I want, when I want. That would be fucking awesome.
Right, like Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had a $14.99 fee and you can read any publisher or whatever you wanted, that would be awesome.
Especially since comics are so quick to go through, you just burn through a lot of comics, right? And then you would only want to own what you really, really liked, as opposed to, like, I don't know how many number ones does Bill have that he can't do anything with, you know?
When the Armageddon happens, Bill will have all those number ones.
That is true.
And he'll be laughing. He'll have his laugh. I got my number ones.
Oh, I mean, I'll have all
you
of
need
my
is number ones.
Awesome
this burning,
boxes.
I don't care.
I have a shit ton of '90s books I get for a dollar, for a dime a piece. So,
Yep, you'll be sitting there with your dimes a dozen.
Yeah, I'll be sitting there reading, like, you know, extremely awesome issues of some terrible book from the 90s. I don't even can't bring anything to bear right now. But there's a bunch of bad books I have. There's some good ones.
There's
a lot of
stuff.
A lot of garbage,
though. I have to admit, now that I'm digging through them, maybe it's just because it's fresh. I don't know.
It is quite different.
Yeah.
I got some more comics that I read.
Yeah, more comics. What else did you read, Bill?
I read... We'll switch to a trade. I read Veiling the Outcast, Volume 1.
I don't even know what that is.
Which collects Veiling the Outcast 1 through 4, published by Boom Studios.
I like
You should know this, because I talked about the number 1 before, and I think Mike talked about something else before.
Yeah, I like that book. A matter of fact, I'm still getting it in singles.
Yeah, it's written by Michael L. Nelson with amazing art by Matteo Scalera. And this is about undead Conan. So starts out, there's a king who gets killed, but he gets killed by this like demon kind of guy who creates undead armies, and he turns the king into one of the undead. So then the king, of course, it's now his mission. He's trying to get his soul back from this guy. So that's the overarching story. And along the way, he meets some interesting characters, trying to convince them to join him. So because he's now one of the undead, all of his previous loyal subjects now hate him. Because they say he's not the king, and he's one of the undead minions of this bad guy, so they want nothing to do with him, even though he still has his intelligence. It's because he figured out that's what it was. So he went away for a while and he figured out how to break his, I guess the main bad guy can control, has like a link to all the undead guys he creates and can control them, and they do his bidding and they can't think for themselves. But Valen has figured out a way to beat that, so now he's a rogue undead, basically. He's an undead guy, but he still has his human mind. So now he wants to get his soul back so he'll be alive again. And it's really, really good. The story is really good, and the art, I think, is phenomenal. I really, really like the art. There's some panels in here that are just gorgeous. So it really falls in the Conan vein, kind of the warrior, you know, a warrior crossing the country on this mission and killing everyone who gets in his way.
Yeah, replace the villain with, like, Tulsa Doom or whatever and Red Sonja, and you got something very similar. But it is good. All those books are very similar as far as style, but if the art works for you, it is even better.
And I like there's a couple, he's going on this mission with two other people that he picked up. One guy is kind of like the
comic relief wise guy.
He's cracking thief kind of guy.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's really funny.
You probably fleshed out more of his personality in the trade. I don't think I'm that far.
Well, there's only 4 issues in, so.
Oh, that's all the trade was just 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess if I had one complaint about the trade, it's that they put 4 issues in and then they put all the covers. And of course, being a Boom comic, they have like 5 covers for each issue. Okay, not that bad, but so they have all the covers with all the variant covers, which isn't bad. I mean, because there's some beautiful covers. They have some good artists doing them. Joe Jusco art on some of them, or on all of them. I guess he did a version. Did he do the standard cover?
I don't know what's considered standard. They usually go A, B, and C, and then they have an incentive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think they're like Dynamite. You can't pick your cover. In other words, you get what you get.
You get what you get. They have like 4 covers that are like 25% each.
Unlike Avatar, where I can pick my cover.
Pick your gore cover.
Yeah.
And then, so the other side character in this is this woman, Warrior, who they haven't really you know, there's something behind the scenes with her, but you haven't figured it out yet, other than she's an amazing warrior and she kills people. She's of this race. I don't know if it's a race or a religion, but when people find out what she is, then they freak out because they know that they're dead. So she gets challenged, and then they find out what she is, and they're like, oh, shit. We're dead. And then she kills. It's good. Pick it up.
I talked to him a little bit at the Baltimore Con.
Which guy? The
artist, Mike Nelson, writer? Yeah.
He's done a lot of Boom stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done quite a bit.
Speaking of Boom, Garfield is an atrocious book. That's it. Keep going.
Wasn't Garfield always an atrocious book?
Oh, yeah. No, it's hideous. But, like, the Kaboom kids in Garfield, equally bad. So, if you like Garfield, you'll like it. But if you're, like, a sane person or something, it's an atrocious book.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, my God.
But, I didn't continue with it. I got the first issue just for shits and giggles.
I just read issue 6 the other day, just flipping through it. Oh my. But whatever. It's neither here nor there. Oh wait, Stumptown is back. And it's pretty good. It's just like Stumptown, so. The Greg Rucka, I don't know who does the art book from Oni Press. But I've only read the first issue because that one's $2. And issue 2 was still $4. And I'm never paying that much money for a digital book ever in my life, ever. So.
How does Bill said his headphones stopped working?
What?
I don't know how your headphone stops working.
But the microphone just stopped? Like,
well, you said my headphones stopped working. Fixing now. Like, what is he doing? Putting tape on it?
He's taking it apart. He's going to take it apart and rewire it so that it'll work again. This is how you do things.
He's doing it live. Live on Geek Brunch.
I switched you guys off my headphones. My headphones stopped working.
Did the sound stop coming out of them, or is the microphone broken?
I think my USB...
Oh.
My USB decided that it didn't like me anymore, so it turned itself off. So now I sound really crappy, don't I?
Now you sound like you're in the toilet.
You sound far away, but it's okay. You're not like far, far away. You're like a close far away. It's all right.
You just have an echo like bathroom, so you're recording in the bathroom.
Listen, as long as you don't...
Can you hear me now?
That's really what happened. So what else you guys got? We were talking about Stumptown. Yeah, that's $4.
Yeah, not happening. Like, so
is that new?
Stumptown is back. I just read issue 1 because it's $2, and issue 2 is $4, and I want to punch things. So, but Stumptown is like the first issue is pretty good. It's sort of a lot of setup for what the story is going to be. Probably a little bit too much for my taste, but. I like the first one, so. The first one has a great hardcover, by the way.
She's an alcoholic, right? Or I'm thinking of a different story.
No, you're thinking of the same one. She's not an alcoholic, she's a mess.
Is that Greg Rucka?
Yeah, that's Greg Rucka. Okay. I forget who does the art.
Matthew Southworth.
There you go. This one is a story of... There's like a rock group or whatever, and the lead guitarist lady has her guitar stolen, and so she's going to the main character, Dex, because Dex is a private investigator who, like all good private investigators, is down on her luck and hates life, which is the only way you can survive as a private investigator in any like respectable sense. So she takes on this case to look for this woman's guitar, and that's all you get in the first issue, really. But it's cool. I mean, I'll keep reading it.
Oh, I think I fixed my headset. I disabled my driver and re-enabled it. Here we go. Let's see if it works.
Yay. There.
Can you hear me?
Live on Geek Brunch. Repair the USB port.
So there is someone yammering outside of my door, and I don't like it. I'm going to go outside.
Is it frightening? Like,
No, it's just obnoxious. Probably. It's like someone talking on a megaphone.
Oh, maybe it's Ice Cold Water Guy. That's awesome.
No, if it was him, that'd be awesome, but I don't believe it is him.
It's like, I got some ice cold water right outside of your house.
I would take some ice cold water. Ice cold water is always welcome.
So when you have USB headphone troubles, you go into your device manager and disable your USB driver and then re-enable it.
Either that or you got a shitty computer, because I've never had to do that.
I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. It just went, be dude. And then I couldn't hear anything. Like,
nice. I got two more books. Homecoming number one from Aspen Entertainment. Did you read this one?
Well, yeah, I think I did.
The one about the aliens?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. I read a bunch that are similar to that, so I don't remember which one. Maybe I didn't read that
one. This took place about... Well, it starts off with this radio guy. Well, maybe he's more like us, a podcaster over the internet, who's into alien conspiracy, and he gets blasted in the first few pages. Like, is he dead? Is he alive? I don't know. And then it focuses on this kid who's a geek in school. And then, like in Weird Science, a girl just appears naked out of his swimming pool.
Of course.
Yeah, and she's she's speaking alien, but then this kid's smart enough to pick up this naked girl and put her on his couch while he goes and Googles the internet and sees, oh man, this is the girl that's aged 10 years who was missing from this house a long time ago. So that sounded kind of weird because he just decided to do that. And then he's a good hacker because he falsifies the ID in his school so she could start going to his school. And then the aliens attack. And her whole job, I guess, is to defeat these aliens. And these aliens look like something out of the movie Aliens, between Aliens and Predator. And they attack, and the whole school's falling apart. And three of the buddies that are with them during this time, They look like they get killed, but they don't, because the one girl uses her powers to summon a ship and put them in these containers and give them powers. And, it was pretty good. As funny as it sounds, I enjoyed it. The only part that I thought was ridiculous is he found the naked girl and then he starts to go Google. I don't know. That's even before he decides to give her any clothes or anything. Well, I guess he gave her a blanket. Then he decides to go Google about the house. But
that seems reasonable.
Yeah. This was by David Wall and Emilio Lacio. And David Wall, we probably all know from Witchblade, because he was big in the day. And I guess this concept and story was developed by Wall and Michael Turner before he died, I guess, because he's credited with it. So, that was pretty good. And then I got Peter Candon Thunderbolt from Dynamite Entertainment.
I think I read that.
So this is the character that Ozymandias or whatever was inspired by in Watchmen. And this story was really good. I dug the shit out of it. In China, they were doing some nuclear experiments, and all of a sudden a dragon pops out of the nuclear bomb. And it's like...
It tends to happen.
Yeah, and... This conspiracy starts that maybe we ought to get rid of all of our nuclear weapons if this dragon is coming. It's kind of like Superman 4, Quest for Peace. But it was awesome. And then this Peter Cannon guy comes out. He actually stops the dragon. But you end up learning that he is the dragon. But he's such a cool hero because he's not even tending to be a hero. He just wants to do his religion and stuff from, you know, Buddhism and whatever. He's like the perfect human. He's using all of his mind. You know how we only use 10% or whatever of our brain. He's using all of it. And he's in peak physical condition, but looks like he can summon dragons too. So it's kind of interesting. They mentioned the Peacemaker, who's another Charlton character. Who's inspired by the comedian. So that was interesting. But the art was really nice. The story was really cool. And then they had a a really interesting article forward by Mark Wade, who talked about Peter Cannon and the Charlton years and all this. And he was the only Charlton character where its creator, he maintained rights to. His name was Morrissey, I guess his name was Pete Morrissey. He lived from 1928 to 2003. And he created this character, and it was the only one that DC put out a series for but didn't own. So even though they bought all the Charlton characters, Peter Cannon was one that they had to get permission to. So at the time, Mark Waid was the editor for DC, or one of the editors, and he really liked this Peter Morrissey guy because he him and Peter were good friends with Dick Giordano, who was a big DC guy back in the day. And they had him originally put together a story so they could relaunch him out of Secret Origins. Do you guys remember that? Secret Origins ongoing that was going on for a while. They relaunched a lot coming out of Crisis, like a bunch of the characters that came out, like Blue Beetle and Captain Atom, and they were going to do a Peter Cannon one, and it never got published. But so it was actually done, and this Pete Morrissey was actually the creator, artist, and writer. So this is original content of the material that was going to be published for DC that never was published. So that was fascinating in itself, and it's kind of an origin story. And then they had a great article in the back about the guy who's currently writing it, Steve Darnell. He's co-plotting it with Alex Ross. And that was an interesting article. So you talk about getting dense material. Yeah, this was $3.99, but shit, you got two comic books and three articles in there. And it took me an hour to read. So yeah, bravo. That was good. I liked it a lot. I'm looking forward to issue two. But like Dynamite, they seem to like advance solicit a lot of shit. Like, I'm still getting Green Hornet, and I stopped it like 6 months ago. So it shows you how far behind, how far behind they are in their publishing schedule. So I don't know if Peter Cannon. I know they've solicited four issues, and I've gotten the first two, and I have. I'm gonna read issue two now because I'm in the mood for it. But this is a good book, and if you want to try it, it's on Comixology. For $1.99, because Dynamite knows how to at least do part of it right. And I think you'll get your material worth because you're getting two comics plus, well, I don't know if the digital copy will have all the forewords and all that stuff by Mark Waid, but if you're a history buff, I like to understand how comic companies acquire properties and all that shit, and there's some of that in there too, so I liked it a lot.
It would probably have it, wouldn't it? Don't they have typically the whole issue?
I've never bought... Well, I've bought a Vampirella Dynamite just to finish the story arc before I canceled it, but... I don't know. I would be curious to know, but Dynamite, I think, does it right. At least, it's not totally right, because I think we'd all agree that 99 cents is probably a good place to price things, but... It's $3.99, and you can get it for $1.99 now. So you wait a month. You know, the second issue comes out. If you can wait and always be a month behind, you'll save half the price if you go digitally. So that's the incentive there. And then the last thing I want to talk about is First Wave Special. I've finished all my First Wave stuff. And this one was the last one. It's by Jason Starr and Phil Winslade. And this one had the Avenger, who appeared back in he appeared in Justice Inc. back in the 70s for DC Comics. And I don't know if he was a pulp hero that had his own novels like Doc Savage or not. But I do know he had that four-issue story arc. And I think he launched out a first-issue special. And then he came back in Doc Savage when First Wave came on as a backup. And that was when I was reading Doc Savage and thinking, well, Doc Savage isn't that good, but the Avengers story is awesome. Well, they kind of continued the Avengers story in here. And he's almost like a human target because he could assume identities and make faces and costumes that make you look like that particular target, so he could go undercover a lot as a henchman. Well, this story takes place where he's trying to take out a mafia dude, and Batman and Doc Savage get involved because if they take out this mafia dude, they make their lives 100 times worse because this other mafia takes over. So they're kind of using this guy as a way to keep crime down because they're fighting each other, right? Instead of one big organization they have to deal with that could cause all kinds of problems. And the Avenger ends up fighting with Batman and Doc Savage, and turns out to be a pretty damn good story. But overall, I like that first wave stuff. It's good stuff, man. Except for Doc Savage, I didn't really get into him. Except for the last 6 issues I read.
So you're all caught up with that stuff now?
Yeah. I haven't read too many current things except for the Batmans and the Supermans, which are really good. That Batman was good, though, Bill. I really liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
That was like some creepy Joker shit that I haven't seen that creepy in a while.
Of course, the only thing, I didn't read the issue that the Joker chopped off his face. So.
Oh, that was in Detective Comics number 1. So that was a year ago. So they kind of introduced the Joker way back at the New 52, but it just happened and then his face was gone. And then you didn't see it come back until now. But man, it was such an intense issue. He made Harley cry. I've never seen Harlequin cry. She was in fucking tears. She was like, this guy's a sick motherfucker. Oh, Lord, that was a good issue. That's worth getting in digital if you can wait a month, because DC also takes off. They go down to $1.99 or $2.99. I can't remember.
But it takes off a dollar from whatever
the original cost.
Yes.
You guys got any other books you want to plug?
I have one. Another trade. This is from Image Comics. This is an older one. Well, let me see what the date is on it. I don't think it's 10 years old. I'm going to guess 2004. 2006. I was close. From Image. Originally published by DC Comics. It is Giant Killer by Dan Brereton. So apparently this was brought out in single issues by DC in Giant Killer 1-6 and Giant Killer A to Z Field Guide to Big Monsters. And then the collection was done through Image. This is about, it takes place, let me see what the year is. I don't remember what year it's supposed to take place in. Right around 2000. So
yeah, the original series started in 1999.
Oh, that's when the DC version?
Yeah.
All right. Geek Brunch Retro. So I got it, obviously, because it's written and drawn by Dan Brereton, who I'm a fan of. And this is actually a good deal.
I don't even see the Image one solicited. That's bizarre.
What do you mean solicited?
Well, I mean, it doesn't even show up in my database as being Image.
I'm looking right at it. It was.
I believe you.
Yeah, it's also good because it's $14.99 and it's big because it's 6 issues. Well, 7 issues really. So, or 6 issues, and then probably an oversized issue, and then there's also sketches at the back. So this is about in 1999. I think they said these monsters came out of a volcano in, I think it takes place in San Francisco, somewhere in, where the heck, or not, Mount Diablo in California, Devil's Mountain, across the bridge from San Francisco past the Oakland Hills. So these monsters came out and kind of took over the area there and made it uninhabitable because there's like, you can't breathe the air anymore in this area in San Francisco. And then, so the government's trying to figure out what to do, because every once in a while, one of these monsters leaves San Francisco and goes across the country and terrorizes. So it's a giant monster, so it's kind of in the Godzilla realm. So there's these giant monsters who are doing this damage. And in the seventh issue is, which is the, what was it called? Giant Killer A to Z. He lists all the monsters that he created. So there's at least 26 monsters that he has in this book. And so the government, in an effort to combat these giant monsters, create a human monster hybrid called Giant Killer, who is the main star of the book, who is a monster, but he is not as big as the giant monsters. He's bigger than a human. He's probably about maybe like 9 or 10 feet tall, I'd say. We'll say like 9 feet tall. So he goes out to kill all these giant monsters, and on one of his trips out there, he meets this girl who's out there, which is strange, and she's not wearing any protection over her face or anything. She's breathing the air. And he finds out that she was actually part of an earlier experiment by the government to create a hybrid. So, but she is more human than monster. She doesn't have any of the monster stuff. And she left the... She kind of turned on the government and went rogue to live with the monsters, because she... And now she's kind of living with the monsters, and she makes her money by collecting monster souvenirs, basically, and selling them to rich people. So she so this giant killer meets her, and they team up, and then at some point the giant killer realizes that as he goes on, he starts to kind of develop more of his personality, because at first he's just a mindless drone for the government, and then he kind of starts to realize who he is and what he wants to do and where he came from. And he kind of starts to side with the monsters, trying to figure out how to solve this problem. And it goes from there. But it's really good. It was a really interesting story, and the art is phenomenal. So if you're a Dan Brereton fan, then definitely pick this up.
What if you're a semi-Dan Brereton fan? Like,
if you're a semi-Brereton fan...
Is the story good, too?
Yeah, it is. If you're a semi-Dan Brereton fan and you're a big giant monster fan, then you'll probably like it.
I didn't even know this book existed, and I usually know DC pretty damn well.
I didn't know until a few months ago when I found out about it, and I think Brereton mentioned it like on Facebook or something, and I'm like, what?
The covers are awesome. I mean, I'm just looking at issues 1 through 6, and they're fucking awesome covers.
I don't know if they reprinted the covers. Oh, they probably did. But it's good. I liked it.
Yeah, I might seek that out just because it's DC.
DC books,
but
you don't have.
I won't get the Image collected edition, but I'll seek out the...
Get the single issues?
Yeah.
Go to my comic shop.
Yeah. I'll reorder that book I'm missing.
I also have one other quick one. I read the Kevin Keller hardcover. I got it from the library. It's just the Archie book. I think it collects 1 through 6 of it. And it was good.
Is it in the vein of Archie funny, or is it more of a serious book?
No, it's in the vein of Archie funny. They do tackle... Yeah, it's Archie for sure.
Well, I knew it was, you know, their first gay character, so I was just wondering. Because their other Archie magazine got kind of freaking serious.
No, this is definitely in the... He's part of the Archie Prime universe, so...
Mm.
It's him in Riverdale with all the gang and stuff. And they do, I mean, touch on some serious topics, but in an Archie way of doing it, like just like they do in the regular Archie books. Like bullies and stuff like that. Being proud of who you are and stuff. It's really well done. It was very enjoyable. And In issue 5, Veronica gets like a Betty Page haircut. She cuts her bangs. She looks really hot.
Who drew it?
Dan Parent.
Ah.
He wrote it and drew it. And it says in the intro, he actually created the character too. Of Kevin Keller.
Because I was curious if it was, what is this guy's name? Andrew Peepoy.
Okay. No, but Dan Parent has been doing it for a while, I know. He's one of the big Archie guys.
Now that I know who this Andrew Peepoy is, I would get a commission from him. Because he does draw like a Betty Page type Archie style. Dan Parent is the big Archie guy that you usually hear, right? I mean, usually associate Dan Parent with Archie, right?
Yeah, he's been their main guy for a while.
Is he an older guy? Because it seems like he's been there forever.
No, he's a younger guy. Or he's like our age, I'd say. I've seen him at cons before.
I'm going to have to Google what he looks like. Because I've probably seen him too.
Comes to the Chicago cons, so I don't know where he lives. Maybe he might be more local to me.
Hey, Micah, how's the weather? He is a younger guy.
What's up?
How's the weather over there?
It's fine.
Yet?
No, we're good here. Charlotte won't get anything. Wilmington might get a little bit, but I think Keith is probably in more trouble than I am.
He's the Brown Arrow. Don't worry.
He'll survive anything.
He's lived in the streets.
I heard that about him.
You don't tell me. I've lived in the streets.
He grew up in the streets.
Up in the streets.
That guy is a mess.
I'm gonna try and
don't judge him.
Unless you've lived in the streets, you can't judge him.
I have lived in these.
Say, you don't know me. I've lived in the streets
of Germany.
Yeah, this guy's young, and he's a graduate of the Kubert School. Interesting.
Oh, is he a Kubert guy?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna scan. Here we go. Where's my scan thing?
What are you trying to do?
Trying to scan.
Your USB's not working. Maybe you gotta plug it back in.
Maybe reconfigure the drivers.
You print drivers now?
Just program new drivers. How about you just do that?
If I lose you...
What are you doing? What are you trying to scan?
Scanning Veronica.
For your own personal collection?
Never mind.
She's hot.
There we go, scanning. Now scanning. No, my scanner's warming up.
Wow. You do live in the past.
So did you guys watch any movies?
I watched a movie from 1963.
What was that?
Charade with Cary Grant and...
The Alfred Hitchcock?
No, it's not Alfred Hitchcock, actually. Mm-hmm. It might as well be, but...
I've heard of it.
It feels like a Hitchcock movie, but it's not a Hitchcock movie.
What? A scanner sounds sick.
Sounds like an old printer.
Yeah. This is like the first generation scanner.
Are you sure you're not printing?
Where am I going to say?
I didn't think I knew how to spell charade, and I guess I do. It just doesn't look great. 1960 what? Three,
I think.
All right, scanned. Let me see if I can look at it now.
Oh, you can look at it.
Sounds like an episode of DC Noise. Gotta scan it.
How do I edit it? Go to it. Go to it. Computer machine.
I can do that now.
Go to photo. I
can yell at my computer and have it do things.
You can? You got the disabled settings?
No, Windows 8 has it plugged into stuff or whatever. I don't know.
What made you watch this?
Did I like it. On TV, it's an awesome movie. And Claire had never seen it, so I wanted Claire to see it. So, Charade is a 1963 movie. It's kind of a sort of spy movie, maybe. I guess. Not really sure. What genre you would put it in. But it stars Katharine Hepburn as a widow, and she doesn't know... She really doesn't even know her husband. It's really strange. But she doesn't really know her husband or what he did. But her husband is dead. He gets thrown off a train. And apparently, at some point in time, he was part of some group that stole $250,000. And they're all trying to get the money back. But they don't know where the money is. They don't know what her dead husband did with the money. So the entire movie is basically these four criminals, a Cary Grant character who we don't know who he is, and Walter Matthau, who doesn't look like he's 900 years old. It's really weird seeing him in this movie because he's a way younger Walter Matthau. And everyone is trying to get Katharine Hepburn's money, but she doesn't know where it is. And no, Audrey Hepburn. Fuck, how did I do that for like the whole past 5 minutes? Wrong Hepburn, sorry. It's Audrey Hepburn, who's the more useful of the two. They're trying to get her money from her. And so it's like this really, it's like a comedic sort of comedy thriller movie where you have a bunch of really strange dudes. Like there's a dude from Texas who's a cowboy. There's a guy with one hand who has a claw, like a hook claw thing on the end of his hand, on the end of his arm. There's a really old dude who sneezes a lot. There's a French detective who, because the movie takes place in France, even though that doesn't matter even in the slightest. There's this little fat kid who runs around being weird. Like, the movie is just full of a lot of weird stuff, but it's actually a fun movie to watch. And it's, you know, as far as like 1960s movies go, it's pretty good. So you should watch it. I can't really explain it. Like, cause
is it on instant streaming? What?
No, I'm sure it
probably
is.
Not.
I own it. But
let's see.
I think it's on Amazon, so Bill can watch it.
Well, that was weird.
He's scanning. He's having problems.
He's still scanning that picture because his 1920 scanner is over here, like, cranking out one line at a time.
Fully scanned. Now,
you either convert it from whatever format it's in into, like, an image that you can actually view.
I don't know. I lost it again.
Yeah, it is on instant streaming, so if you got Netflix, you could stream
it. If you have Netflix, you can watch it. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. You can just go to the store and get the DVD because it's like $1.50, I'm sure.
Hey, can I send a photo in Skype?
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Keith does it all the time.
I'm sure he does. Okay, you click on the little Skype lessons time for everyone. Oh, wait, hold on. No, I don't want to do that. Hold on. No, smiley. I don't want to send a smiley face.
Send file?
That's it. Yeah, send file.
Now, how do I send a scanner to you guys in Skype?
Well, I got it. Save as, and then I save it, and I can open it.
Wait, did he send it? He only sent it to Mike. You bastard.
Did I? I don't know. I just said I.
Yeah, it was in the one window that said I.
Oh, I sent it to I. Still sending. 10 minutes remaining.
Jesus! What kind of did you scan this in it?
Did you scan? Maybe it doesn't want to hurt our Skype signal.
Maybe I should reduce the size first.
Oh, it's almost how done.
Did that file?
There it goes. How do I send it to Micah?
Just go to the window where we're all in. Click on that. You should have sent it to all.
I don't know how to get back.
This has just gone absolutely out of control.
I can't find Skype now.
Oh, what is going on?
Oh, wait. Recent.
IMG. There we go. Let's see what this is.
But now it's going to send it to everybody. Here, what if I click on Micah's name? Send file. Hey!
Oh, this to me?
That's a good scan. Hey, Veronica, you're too much. I hope you know that. I'll take that as a compliment. As she rubs her breasts.
Well, then. RT's gotten a little different from what I read, I don't know, like 2 months ago.
So,
I don't know. I decided to Micah.
If you get a virus, it's your fault. Thank you, Skype.
Did you watch anything else, Micah? Movie wise?
No. Wait, no.
Yeah, I didn't watch any movies. I watched more TV, but
I don't think I watched any movies either. Oh, that's a lie. I did. I watched the first 20-25 minutes of Tree of Life.
Why just 25 minutes?
Because it was that bad that you were like, fuck, I can't.
At that point, Melanie and I looked at each other and said, do you have any idea what's going on? No. That was the extent of our...
That sounds familiar. Who watched that? Was that Keith?
I think Michael watched it, didn't you?
I've seen more than you have, but not a lot. Yes.
I thought you mentioned it before on the show.
I have mentioned it before on the show. It's not any good. No, it's not any good. It's not any good. Sorry. No, it's not any good.
The first 20 minutes... So this kid dies and this family is dealing with it, but they don't really talk about anything. And they show some pictures of mountains and some pictures of outer space and a volcano and some tall buildings. And then Sean Penn is there. And that's about that. Then you're at about the 20-minute mark. Is that about accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, Brad Pitt does some stuff. Other people do some stuff.
You just cried in the first 20 minutes.
Just.
How much did you watch?
I watched a good 45 minutes to an hour of it.
Okay, you made it further than I did.
I was convinced, because people, like, this is before I really am where I'm at now, where I have no patience at all. I had little patience before. Now I have no patience with movies, but, like, I was told it was good, and so I was convinced that maybe I just wasn't getting it, and so I stuck around for a while longer, and then it wasn't me, it was the movie. Like, I wasn't not getting it, the movie sucked.
Yeah, Mike, if you want to talk about pretentious movies...
Oh, dear God.
This is, like, the ultimate in pretentiousness. Because there are, like, beautiful shots, there's beautiful music, but, like, there's no story at all. This is, like, the epic, perfect DC Noise movie challenge.
Oh, Keith would like it, but none of us would.
I didn't think Keith could make it through this movie.
Probably not.
But it's like, it gets good ratings for some reason.
Well, my Netflix says that 2 stars, so I wouldn't like it. My Netflix knows me.
It knows you well. Pretentious people love this movie. Like, movie people probably love. Like, Keith Cunningham probably loves it.
Keith Cunningham probably thinks it's the best thing ever, so.
Yeah.
Not to besmirch his honor, but I'm just going to guess.
I watched an Adam Sandler movie. That's not pretentious.
Probably better than this.
The other end of the
spectrum. No, I've seen 50 First Dates, like, 20 times already. I like that movie. It's one of my favorite romantic comedies because... He has to get her to fall in love with him every fucking day. That's amazing. It's a good movie.
I don't think I ever made it all the way through that movie.
I don't think I saw that one.
You should see it instead of this shit. It's a romantic comedy, so you could sit down and watch it with your wife.
I probably have seen it already.
It's great.
But if I saw it, I only saw it once, not 50 times.
Yeah. Let's see, TV-wise, I watched quite a bit. I've watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which has had me rolling on the floor, like borderline having to go to the bathroom to piss because I'm laughing so hard.
I think I watched the first one of the new season.
I watched the second two already. And
watched the one with the Hitler. I watched the Hitler episode.
Yeah, there was the Hitler one. This one here was, man, it was dark. It starts off like one of those Blair Witch projects. Like they're running in the forest and they're all full of blood. They're like, fuck, run! And then you get the backstory on how they ended there. And they go to this wedding. If you remember from like season two, I don't know if you guys watched it that far back, but season three, Dennis got married to a girl that had really bad breath. And she was getting remarried, so he's going over there to get her to sign papers so he could get out of the alimony that he's I don't know how he pays her alimony. I don't think a guy has any money anyway. But he's paying her alimony, and he goes back over there, and this is like the Halloween episode because she's marrying into a family that's a bunch of inbreds. So it actually has some scary ass shit. It has this woman walking on the floor with her legs behind her neck, and it looks like exorcism like. And all the characters that are walking around at the wedding are like fucked up. I mean, it's like a horror movie. It's really scary and funny at the same time. But it's funny because Danny DeVito gets bit in the head by a bat. And he's like, I read about this. You have to suck out the poison immediately. Suck it out. So he gets Deidre, you know, his daughter, to suck out so she's like sucking on his head. And then she gets the poison out. And they're like, now you got to vomit it up. Now you got to vomit it up. It's freaking hilarious. So it's like a horror movie, and Charlie and Mac are in the car. They take her car, and they're trying to drive away. And he crashes immediately into a pole, so he like drives like 10 feet right into a pole. And he's like, Mac is like, what the fuck did you drive in a pole? We need to get it away. And he goes, I forgot how to drive. It's just hilarious. Such a good episode. And then I watched The Office, and that was the Halloween episode, too, and that was really good.
Oh, I didn't see the Halloween one yet. I didn't know it was the Halloween one.
Oh, yeah. Has some really good Creed stuff.
The Halloween ones are usually really good.
Creepy as shit as it is. So, yeah, I watched those comedies, and then I watched American Horror Story, Asylum.
Ooh, that started already?
Yeah. And it is creepy, very, very creepy. But well, it's creepy for me because I've always been scared of asylums.
Well, yeah, well, since you were raised in an asylum.
Yeah, I've been petrified of them. And this one is interesting enough because it has a Jessica Lange character, but she's a new character. It has the guy who played her son in the first season, but he's a new character. And it has like three or four other actors that are in the old one, but they're different characters.
Yeah, that's what they're doing with the show. They're anthologizing every season, so every season is going to be different. So they'll have the actors back again, but they'll be playing different characters.
Yeah, I knew they were doing new stories each season. I didn't know they were keeping all the same or a lot of the same ones.
But it has like Jessica Lange and James Cromwell, who plays a creepy dude. And those are what, two Academy Award winning actors? So that's pretty awesome.
Well, Jessica Lange was so awesome in the first one.
Oh, she's great in this. She plays a nun. Oh, my God.
Oh, perfect.
It is very good. The opening scene is good, except it has Maroon 5 guy in it. I don't like that guy. He's not a bad actor. I just don't like him. guy loves himself too much.
And his music sucks.
I hate Maroon 5. I just don't like it. But that was a good thumbs up show. I liked a lot. I watched the one that you talked about, Micah, and I enjoyed it. The one about the ship. I just don't see what they're gonna.
Last Resort.
Yeah, I just don't see what they're gonna.
I have no idea how they're gonna move on.
Because it's like they could just blow the shit out. They could just blow the shit out of that thing, even though it's powerful, right? They'd be able to track it and destroy it if they wanted to.
They can't find it.
Yeah, they could find it.
It's an awesome sub.
It has that super technology.
It's Red October. They'll never be able to find it.
I watched some other show, but I watched Grimm. Watched my very first episode.
Actually, on Last Resort, on the most recent episode, they found it. But then, whenever they find it, they just threaten that they're going to shoot their nukes.
Yeah.
And then they have to back off, and then they hide again.
Oh, that won't get old at all. That will never get old.
I'm still liking it. I still like that show.
I'm sure it's going to be good for a while. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to go out to another season.
Yeah, I just don't know if I can get invested in that kind of show where the goal is to be successful, and if it is successful, the goal is to stay on TV for as long as possible. And it's just, you know, that storyline, I don't know how long it can go on.
Yeah.
But who knows? Might change.
Yeah, you get to the point where if you go on with it, you have to resolve it at some point, or else people are going to get pissed off that you're dragging it on. But then, you know, once you do resolve it, then where's the story going to go?
It becomes an actual romance story between that one chick on the boat and her beau, wherever he is. Just no more like boat storyline. Just those two talking on the phone a lot, having a new relationship.
They can go other places because obviously something's screwed up in the country that we're dropping bombs on people, other countries secretively.
Yeah.
So. Even if they got off the boat, they could still have... It's still a conspiracy story.
It's possible. Maybe it'll turn into Alias and it'll just get really weird.
Or it could turn like Lost and they could just make stuff up for a little while and then get back on track.
Yeah, they'll have a season or two where they have no idea what they're doing and they just make up shit and run around for a while and then go, all right, the show's over, let's go.
And they go, oh, you're in purgatory or whatever. Is that what the explanation was? I don't even know, I'm lost.
I don't know what the end of the story was.
Well, because that one season they were like they went back to the real world and they didn't know each other.
Yeah,
it's like the alternate reality season. And then the last season, and then finally they said, "Okay, let's get back to the island."
Gotta go back
conclude
to the
story.
Gotta
go conclude back. The story now. We dragged it on for a little while there. Now we can finish the story. I don't know if I watched. I'm trying to think.
I watched Walking Dead. That was really good. The first two episodes. Second episode was so freaking intense. I was actually getting stressed out. It's like, damn. They're in the prison. That's a good TV show.
Doing popular. Or doing well. Is popular. Man, I can't talk right now.
Are you not watching it?
I need some food. I'm not caught up. Oh. I'm not caught up. I'm still halfway through second season.
You should have watched that instead of
the damn movie. I only wasted 20 minutes on that.
Yeah, you could have watched the whole episode.
Watching Comic Book Men still. It doesn't really go anywhere, but I just watched.
Yeah, I watched. This season hasn't really done much for me. I gotta admit.
It's so staged that. I did find it interesting, though, because we've talked about comic book smells a lot in this podcast. And this guy owned a cigar shop, and he took in his old comics, and they smelled like cigars. And they wouldn't buy them because they stunk so bad. And that's why they say don't keep your comics in the garage, you know, because gasoline and stuff. The paper, at least on old comics, I don't know if new comics with all that glossy paper, if they'll absorb smell as much as the the old paper, but the old paper will absorb smell. So if you fart a lot, it'll absorb it.
Oh, man. Remind me not to buy any comics from Keith.
Right. That'd be a bad idea.
If you do want to buy comics from Keith, he's selling Batman 1 through 13.
Does he have a disclaimer? Note.
Note. It may contain fart smells. No. No, I don't think the new paper will absorb smell. Like, the newsprint paper will absorb smell really bad.
It, so that copy of Wednesday's comics he has is going to be really rough.
I don't know. You'll probably be cussing at the mic right now. Don't judge me. I lived in the streets. So, yeah, I'm watching a lot of TV, but not a lot of movies.
What other TV?
Not been a lot.
I can't remember what TV I watched.
I wanted to watch that 666 Park Avenue. I didn't. I watched Arrow, the pilot. I liked
it. I have seen Arrow.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
I've seen the first two.
I liked the first one, but the second one seemed like a CW show to me. Like, you know what I mean?
CW-ish. Well, the show is going to be CW-ish. Like, I have a feeling it's going to be very, very CW. But
yeah, I know, because it's on CW.
It is on that channel. But, like, it's weird that Supernatural has managed to avoid getting CW'd all the way up.
Which has?
Supernatural.
Oh, I never watched that one.
I watched Grimm, and I... The very first one, because it had La Llorona on it, which I've always been scared of, because she's the woman that drowned her children, and we were always told not to walk on the ditches, because she roamed the ditches, and it was a pretty good episode, but it's... I can't get into procedural done-in-one stories. I don't know why. Like, on TV, like, I could watch an episode of a crime drama, but I don't feel like obligated to watch the next one because it's always formula. And
that's the idea. That's actually the idea of the show, that you don't come, that you, if you don't watch the next four, you can come back and you'll be happy.
And I guess I have the comic book mentality where I'd rather have an ongoing story like Breaking Bad or Walking Dead or Last Resort or American Horror Story. If you miss an episode, well, I don't know about Last Resort because I've only seen the first one. But if you see like American Horror Story, it's hard to jump in on episode 3.
I mean,
because it's an ongoing story, and that's why I like Friday Night Lights and Spartacus and True Blood, and it's because it's like reading a comic book. In other words, it usually tells a story and then ends on a cliffhanger, so you want to come back. And I have a hard time with the series that aren't like reality TV. Reality TV shows I could watch, take them or leave them. And I usually watch like Toy Hunter. And it's always the same formula in Comic Book Man. But I like when the story just progresses. Like, if you miss an episode, you're fucked. So go find it. I like that. Matter of fact, I can't name anything outside of the comedies I watch, like Always Sunny or The Office, that I can't name a drama that I watch that is formulaic or procedural. I don't do it.
Mm-hmm. But you are, at least according to the bullshit ratings we have, you are actually in... And I'm with you as well, but we are in the minority of television viewers because shows like that get shit ratings compared to shows that are the same thing every week for 10 years going.
Yeah.
For some reason, most people would like to watch a show in which nothing happens.
Something happens, it's just the same thing every week.
Right. Well, yeah, like there's no ongoing story, the characters don't develop at all, it's very much, this is it. Here you go. And to be fair, comics do that on a larger scale. Like, not much actually changes. Like, you can take a break for 2 or 3 years from Batman, and when you show up again, like, outside of, you know, something still weird Batman. Happening.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce is still Batman, and Alfred is still there, and there are bad guys who are weird, and Batman fights them. Like, to some extent, like, they do all these different storylines here and there, but if you leave Batman for 2 or 3 years and you come back to Batman, you haven't, or Spider-Man or anything.
You haven't missed the concept, but you've missed the continuity.
Right.
Ongoing continuity. They write for long ass story arcs, and even in the New 52, they really drag it on sometimes. So I tend to disagree a little bit. Yeah. You'll always have Superman. You'll always, Lois will be there somewhere. Spider-Man and Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy and all that shit, that'll always be there. And there'll always be a villain of the week, but there is a sense of continuity to it. Like, even some dude's chronicling the history of the New 52 on his website. So you could, like, go and see, like, the history as it goes through what's going on.
I am sure there's some, and on the procedurals,
there are that way too, though, Micah.
Chronicling CSI and all the different CSIs and what's happening.
There is a sense
in every one of those.
There is a sense of growth. Like, a character might meet a girlfriend and then dump her, and then something else happens and something else happens. But
all I remember is that I think it was season 8 or 9 of one of the CSI, or was it, maybe it was Law and Order show, where they were like, the commercial was quite literally, we are going to see the inside of this character's home for the first time. Like, and the show was, like, this is a character who'd been on the show for like 8. I can't even remember what the dude's name was and which one. I remember watching a commercial. I was floored that, like, the big development of the week was that you were finally going to see this character's house. And I was like, holy crap. Like, how is that? Like, how is this big news? How are we like, yes, we're going to see this dude's house?
Built up to it. It's all in your expectations, I guess.
He's a coffee maker, apparently. He's a coffee maker. He's a really exciting coffee maker.
Any recommendations for horror movies to watch for Halloween? Or?
Oh, it's Halloween time. Oh, look, Bill's picture changed.
I changed my picture. Do you like it?
Of course.
Oh, awesome. I like it. He's crossed.
I'm feeling a little strange right now. I don't know what it is.
I feel like you're looking at my groin. I don't know what's going on.
Possibly because he's looking at your groin, but we know.
What is that? Is that the face mask that came with the 3D comic?
I think it's a face mask I got from a con at some point.
Oh, that's awesome. I need that.
My Halloween costume.
It's such a deviant comic, but man, I can't take my eyes off of it. And it's almost like if I was to collect variant covers, I would do it from Cross just because they're insanely crazy. You'll never know what you'll see on a Cross cover.
Horror movies, huh? I don't know. Do you have any?
Well, I don't know. I was looking at Motel Hell is on Friday night. Well, no, maybe it's past time. What is it? I don't even know what date we're on. Motel Hell was I like that one.
I recommend that French zombie movie. What was that called?
The French zombie movie.
Yeah.
Did I watch it?
No.
I think you started to and then gave, you watched part of it and then gave up on it. Because you're lame. Horde. That's my recommendation, Horde.
I'm thinking, it just came out last year. Now my brain is broken up.
Dang, Horde. I got to watch that again.
British movie. Cool aliens.
Oh, Attack the Block.
Attack the Block. Yeah, that's my recommendation.
That's a good recommendation too.
Cujo's on today.
Heathers. The Heathers.
Thinner is on. I like Thinner.
Heathers is on Instant Streaming.
I have never seen this, but tomorrow on AMC is Flight of the Living Dead, Outbreak on a Plane.
No thanks.
That's got to be terrible.
This has to be atrocious.
If you guys are into the zombie, Survival of the Dead is not a bad George Romero. At least I thought it was good.
I don't think I saw that one. I think I might have it, though.
It's kind of a generic one, but it's worth watching, especially if you're a fan of the George Romero movies.
It's the last one, right? The
most recent one? Yeah.
Yeah, no. How come I never saw that one? Maybe I saw it. Maybe I did see it. Are there, like, trucks in it?
The military trucks, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one. That is good. I like that one. I recommend that one.
That was like the Hatfields versus the McCoys, if you remember.
Yeah.
It was like the island. Remember? The island they're on?
Yeah, with the horses, right?
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good one. I recommend that. And I still like Diary of the Dead.
I like Diary of the Dead, too.
I like the Resident Evil movies, even though they're not any good.
I want to see the latest one, because it's the only one I haven't seen. Fright Night 2's on. That one's not bad, if you like Fright Night. I don't know. I should have been watching Fear Fest.
Jeepers Creepers?
There was an awesome one that was on. I don't even know what the hell it was, but it was an Australian truck driving movie that looked like a horror movie, and it looked awesome, but I never got the name of it. It was on like at 3 a.m., and I was like, this is pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to set Tivo to record Flight of the Living Dead.
Flight of the Living Dead.
Okay, I set it to record.
Monster House.
I haven't seen that one.
I like that movie. It's a kids movie.
There's got to be something good on Netflix.
Is Poltergeist on Netflix?
That's a good horror movie.
That is great.
I heard the latest one of, not Poltergeist, but what is that one that's...
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, I heard it really sucked.
And that, yeah, but it made lots of
buku,
money.
Yeah, buku money.
That one usually does really good on the Rotten Tomatoes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's usually 50 or better, and this one's in the 20s.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I never even liked the first one, so...
I like those. There's a horror movie called Elevator. 9 people are stuck in an elevator. One has a ticking bomb and the other 8, all Wall Street partygoers, must think of a way to survive.
And one is the devil.
No, that was a different movie. That was this M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I can't watch those elevator movies because they're always so inaccurate.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
you see all the details. They're like, they couldn't get out of the elevator like that.
That's right. Oh, look at that.
The placement of the phone isn't there.
That is not how it works.
I can't hardly wait to see Luke's live stand-up where he talks about your elevator stuff. That would be all my live stand-up. Nobody would get it except for you. Boom me off stage.
Okay. Why does this guy keep talking about
elevators? Elevators. That's his fascination. That's his fascination with the
elevator. Oh, yeah, Survive. Oh, they're doing a whole Dead marathon on AMC. So, for all of you who are listening to this in the past,
wasn't that great?
In the future, did you guys catch that marathon? They have Flight of the Living Dead, Survival of the Living Dead, and Land of the Dead. Shrunk into strange order.
Flight of the Living Dead, though, is not a Romero movie, is it?
No. No, it's going to be terrible.
Those other two are. Because it goes Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and then Survival of the Dead, right?
Right. I didn't like Land of the Dead.
I did. I thought it was all right.
I think they're making a new Evil Dead movie.
What did you not like about it? That the zombies got smart?
I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't really like Leguizamo.
Well, that's easy to do.
That was my major problem.
He played the clown in Spawn.
He plays a lot of things. Most of them terrible, but whatever.
I always liked that. You ever see the Ginger Snaps trilogy?
Oh, the werewolf chicks. Yeah.
I saw the first one.
I've seen the first two.
Yeah. There's a third one that's like a prequel.
I think I've seen that one too.
There you go. I think that's all of them. So we got any food? We already kind of talked about food.
Yeah, we sure did. We opened up with food.
I think we opened up with food as a change of pace.
Yeah, we're mixing it up. Always on the cutting edge.
So I think we could wrap up unless you guys got anything else to talk about.
I had a lemon frosting for the first time the other day.
Lemon frosting?
Yeah.
Oh, Bart made a pumpkin. No, they weren't pumpkin.
Oh, I have something.
What the hell
is it? I made sangria yesterday.
Oh, French toast. Cupcakes. French toast cupcakes. And they did taste like French toast.
That's awesome.
Sangria is what? A drink?
Booze. Ours it's was made drink. With... Yeah, it's a drink. Ours was made with apple cider and white wine and brandy and apples. And I think that's it for this one. We didn't do the orange slices this time around. But, yeah. So, you get apple cider and you get some apples and you get some brandy and some white wine and you put it in a pitcher. And you mix it up, and then you let it get cold, and then you drink it and eat the apples out of it, and it's good.
Hmm. Is it normally made with apples?
No.
Is that just a variety?
That's what
one of the
did,
ways you can do it.
Because we got apples.
Makes sense.
You can do it with all kinds of fruits.
Yeah, there's usually oranges in it, right? Is that what you said?
Oranges, lemons, limes, other various strawberries and stuff. All over the place. But it's like fruit punch with booze. Sometimes. Sort of. But yeah. Good stuff.
So you're thinking if I could get past the first 10 minutes of the Horde, I'd like it, huh?
Oh, Horde is awesome. It's awesome.
He's like trying to talk himself into watching it.
You gotta get... Because it's slow and it kind of sets it up until they get to the drug dealer's apartment.
Yeah, I got there.
Yeah, 5 more minutes in, you would have been hooked. That's when the shit goes down. Start watching it right there. It's awesome. It's awesome. They're fighting. They're doing a taekwondo fighting against a zombie. No, she's punching him. She's like... The girl's boxing a zombie. She's like punching him in the face and kicking him.
Barb just got done watching the entire Netflix offering for Pretty Little Liars, which is like a teen drama. So I have all these recommendations for movies. Sorority Roars, The Secret Life of an American Teenager, Make It or Break It. What is this? Greek? 90210, oh, yeah. The Hills, Life Unexpected, Dance Academy, The Cardassians, One Tree Hill, Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Are you sure you didn't log in as Daryl?
No, that then I get Honey Boo Boo. Ooh, Night of the Comet is on. That's a good, it's like a post-apocalyptic cool movie.
Mm-hmm. That works.
I don't know if post-apocalyptic horror or sci-fi. I always think it's more sci-fi than horror.
I mean, it can be whatever you want it to be. if it's post-apocalyptic, it could be like a boring movie because the apocalypse could have happened and then everyone could have like made a little farm together. And
yeah, I still want to write that that space asylum in space.
I think you should put space in the title a few more times.
Space asylum in space.
I'll be the next Ed Wood, man. Space asylum in space. Directed by Mike Myers.
I mean, I think that can work.
Mike Myers production.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to wrap this up?
Let's do it.
All right. This has been Fantastico. Geek Brunch episode. Good Lord. I
170.
Don't...
Yeah, 170.
170. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Number 69. 69, yep. Dude. 170. And you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. You can search under Geek Brunch Podcast. Find it there. We also have that Retrocast, which is on alternating weeks. Check that out if you like old stuff. What else? Oh, emails, Mike, Bill, and Micah at comicbooknoise.com. And we have Twitters at @do_what. That's Micah. Bill is BBM00. And I am Mike Myers Brunch. And what else we got? Facebook, you can friend us on Facebook if you like.
Yep, I gotta. Did you say the Facebook page already?
Yeah, it's comic Geek Brunch. I was gonna say comicbooknoise.com.
No.
Podcast.
Damn.
And we have Forum for Geeks. And if you have a new USB port that you could lend to Bill, you can email him and coordinate how you can get him a USB port that works.
If you could scan in your USB port and send it to me.
at least scan an instruction manual for USB ports, no?
Yeah. That scanner sounds like something out of the 70s. That should.
Dude,
I want that as a prop in my space.
Isn't it?
Space is
problem in space.
Space. We need to scan this in. I can't scan it in.
It's scanning pixel by pixel.
It's so slow.
Right.
Quick, he's coming. Scan.
Hold him off till it's done scanning.
And you get attacked and then to the other end.
And the hero in my movie is a guy who thinks he's Laurel and Hardy. He thinks he's both of them.
Wasn't that done before?
I don't know.
I'm sure it was. It's probably in some like atrocious indie movie or something.
A guy who thinks he's Laurel and Hardy?
Mm-hmm. I swear that sounds familiar.
Because I told you what my plot would be. We talked about this on the phone.
That could be. I might have heard it from you.
Nobody else would think of stupid shit like that. See, I can say my ideas on the podcast because nobody will want to take them.
Yeah.
Space asylum in space!
Michael Bay, space asylum in space in 3 years. You're going to be so pissed off.
Oh, that would be terrible. Somebody steals my idea. Copyright, space. Mike Myers.
I think that's how that works. Oh. I think you just have to say it. And you get the copyright on it. So you just say copyright.
There it is. Copyright. Mike Myers, Space Asylum in Space, Laurel and Hardy, hero. There we go. They can't steal it now. All right. Well, you guys have a good weekend. I hope your week is good.
Everything's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.